The riots in this country have been pretty bad. They've been going on for quite a long time. There was a lull in winter, as there usually is, because people don't go out when it's cold and snowy. Now things are starting to kick up a bit earlier than they did last year and the years before. If you've been covering riots, if you're a journalist who knows this, you know that there really is like a season for when the riots come out in the summer, when it's warm. And there's also, interestingly, a season for a lot of the illegal immigration. Interestingly, under Joe Biden, we're seeing illegal immigration come sooner, and we're also seeing the riots start sooner. I don't necessarily know what that means, but I can tell you. Mainstream politicians and personalities are absolutely doing everything in their power to make it worse. We had Maxine Waters come out and say, get more confrontational. A lot of people felt like that was jury intimidation. Now we got LeBron James putting out a tweet saying, you're next, and posting a photo of a cop. He deleted this, but now it's triggering, again, all sorts of controversy. Jack Posobiec over at OAN apparently is calling for a boycott of Space Jam. I think this story together is kind of funny to talk about because it kind of, you know, meshes into the cultural issues that are going on today. So we're going to talk about that issue. We're going to talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter showing up in New York, threatening, strangely, a white guy protesting for Black Lives Matter, threatening another white guy. It's kind of weird. But we also got some big news about Gretchen Whitmer, who got busted flying to Florida. She's also being sued over, well, in relation to what happened with these nursing homes. A lot of people right now are really upset. Seems like Andrew Cuomo got away with the nursing home deaths. Well, fortunately for us, we have one of the last remaining journalists on the planet, the legendary Charlie LaDuff, hanging out in studio. How's it going, man? You want to introduce yourself?
No.
So you basically you're doing this reporting on Gretchen Whitmer. You're calling her out for all this corruption.
I wouldn't say corruption. I want the truth.
Yeah.
You knew Cuomo wasn't going to get rung up. This is just politics. Everything's a show. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Whitmer copied everything Cuomo did. We took, this is what we know about COVID, everybody out there. The institutionalized elderly got wiped out.
Yeah.
And that's where the government is supposed to be looking out. And if I can't get clear data from my governor, who copied the governor of New York, and we found out he was smoking the data, then, yeah, we're going to court. It's right not on. Corruption. This is about how we all live. You might be in an old folks home. You might be in an old folks home. I might be. What about the people in there now? What are we supposed to be doing with all these cameras? We're supposed to be doing something that rights the community. That gets this thing back on track.
That's why I said you're one of the last journalists, bro.
And what is this bug sitting here?
That's a stink bug.
With this whole hippie compound you got here, I got stink. Oh, this is the pet.
Yeah, no, it's just a stink bug. They're everywhere.
I think he's dead.
He's hanging out.
So we're going to talk about all this stuff. And you have a bunch of really, really famous viral reports that you've done in the past. A lot of people are mentioning they're familiar with your work. But just hearing you talk about this stuff. They're journalists today, man, they are, what's the right word, stenographers for the state. They just, you know, whatever the governor says is true. The FBI comes out with a statement like, you got it. They don't do investigation. They don't report. They're just stenographers. We'll get into all this stuff, so I'm glad to have you. We got Ian Eastchill.
Yo, what up, everybody? Ian Crossland in the house at Ian Crossland. Good to be here.
Yeah, yeah. And me in the corner pushing buttons. My boss and my guest have both been stink bug tonight. It's a good night for stink bugs. We're going to have a great night talking about the news.
We've started collecting the stink bugs. We put them in a jar and we give them to chickens. It's fantastic.
They love it.
They love stink bugs.
Brown marmalated.
Marmorated
stink bugs.
They come from China and they're invasive.
Jerks.
But they're really dopey.
They are from China, aren't they? Yeah, I don't recognize them from my childhood.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, they're new. But they're super chill. You know, they'll just sit there and chill, and then they'll move if you try to do something. They don't bother
and
you.
And
you
they don't freak you out, like, because I have them in my house in Michigan.
They smell bad.
You're taking a dump, and there they are, and throw them out the window.
They were introduced to Pennsylvania in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
Somehow. I don't know how they arrived, but then they became this invasive.
Well, considering
species.
This isn't the stink bug show, let's move on.
Good
show,
it is.
So everybody knows. Where's the camera? Where I can
there you
show
go.
That one
up
right there.
Here, yeah. That's a stink bug. Now you know.
They look like little shields. Some people call them shield bugs.
Hey, hold on a second.
They smell bad.
Let's find out if they're medicinal.
Have you ever
Did you?
Nah, he didn't do it.
No.
If you ever see.
It's a trick. I saw that.
I object.
I hate that baby.
No, you
my
didn't.
My gosh.
All right.
Let me.
It's almost as good as this.
Oh my gosh.
That stuff's great.
Buy this
no,
stuff.
No. I'm sorry. It's way better.
Yeah.
It's way better. But don't forget to go to timcast.com. Become a member. If you click the members area right up top, you get a bunch of exclusive members-only segments. You only can watch these if you're a member. We got a huge, huge library. Look at all these people. We got Michael Malice
so
right here.
Fun.
Michael Malice dressed like Superman. What's up with that? We got Jack Murphy. There's me with a old school. I'm not going to say what that is because YouTube will get mad at me, but you get the picture. We got Sandra Fairbanks. We got Jeremy from The Quartering. Timcast.com. Become a member. We have big news. We have major, major updates coming. We're getting news writers. This is all happening very, very soon. We're working on moving as fast as we can, but you got to, you know, we're bursting at the seams, which means we can only move so quickly. But thanks for all of your support, everybody. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. If you're listening on any podcast platform, leave us a good review. We really appreciate it. Let's talk about what's going on with LeBron James. This guy's causing controversy. He tweets, then deletes, call for accountability in the shooting death of Columbus 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant. James tweeted, then deleted a picture Wednesday afternoon of the police officer who was believed to have fatally shot Bryant, writing, "You're next." Accountability. The problem, well, I'll read a little bit more. They say less than 24 hours after he tweeted accountability, following former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin being found guilty, LeBron James took to social media again to call for accountability in the shooting of a 16-year-old girl in a now-deleted tweet. Micaiah Bryant, a young black girl, was shot and killed by a Columbus police officer Tuesday while wielding a knife and reportedly attempting to stab another female. Bryant's death has since sparked national outrage. I got to stop here and just give my respect to these journalists who literally have a video of the woman shoving of the 16-year-old girl shoving a woman against a car, taking the knife and pulling it back and then thrusting forward, and they say reportedly attempting to stab.
Wielding. Should be wielding.
It says yielding.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yep, they messed that up.
Yeah.
Yielding a knife? Does that make sense?
No, I thought you yielding just, a knife makes no
I
sense.
I thought maybe you went to public school like me and you just
read it wrong?
Read it wrong.
I didn't go to high school.
I was going
to
say something too.
So maybe it says yielding.
Yeah, it does. Did
you say yielding?
Are you implying that the author Hope Sloop from WKYC went to public school as well?
Okay, well, quickly, how do you spell yielding?
What, Y-I-E-L-D-I-N-G?
You sure it's not Y-E-I?
Why, it's Y-I-E.
Okay, is there any shame?
In spelling it wrong?
Yeah.
Not really. I don't know.
Exactly.
Just need a copy.
Spelling it wrong, no, but if you write a completely different word than what you meant to write,
it's like right. It's okay not to know 9 times 6, except if you're counting other people's money.
That's right. Right?
So when you're on the block,
yep,
and you're facing that, why doesn't LeBron James shut up? Why didn't the media shut up? Why didn't the country shut up? And why don't we move forward in a process? Well, we're not going to blow each other up.
I wish, man.
This is not entertainment. This is killing us.
Yeah. Why is LeBron James? You know, the problem I have is this dude, when all this China stuff is going down with Hong Kong, the NBA takes the side of China over the protesters in Hong Kong demanding freedom, liberty, respect. So this guy now has the nerve to come out, and it's just like, I don't know, man.
He's just another, look, if you take it out the fact that it's LeBron James, he's just another dude with Twitter, right? But it is LeBron James. And then even LeBron James, if we could dial it down, he understands what he did.
That's why I deleted it.
Maybe we give him some credit.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I went too crazy there. Maybe we should calm down. I don't want any war.
You know what the problem is, though, man? The reason he says things like this, I know he deleted it. That's true. So fine, I respect for deleting it for sure. Right thing to do.
Maybe he could say, "Man, I went too far. I would do it." You know, but I made mistakes.
But look what's happening now in the wake of the guilty verdict for Derek Chauvin.
Which was correct.
You think the verdict was correct? Guilty on all charges?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I think that's cool.
Guilty on all charges.
I'm not gonna hate you, but it looked like murder to me, dude.
Yeah, but second degree murder, like manslaughter, I understand. You know what I mean? Like I say, like you can make an argument for manslaughter.
Well, first degree murder is premeditated.
Yeah.
Second is you did it and you knew you were going to do it,
or you assaulted someone and they died.
And third, and manslaughter is an accident.
Right.
Okay.
And third degree murder is like you're acting in a depraved, negligent manner that results in death.
It didn't look like an accident, and it didn't look like he meant to do it when he got up in bed. So what's in the middle? Second degree. If we all believe in our process. If we love this country and those are the rules.
This guy just spilled beer on the computer.
Hey, don't tell him it's beer.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Would it make it worse if it was water?
Probably got to get that off the computer before you blow it up.
My problem with that Chauvin thing is that when it came out that he was high, Floyd was high on
fentanyl
and methamphetamine.
Yeah.
And that he may have died from like heart cardiac arrest, that maybe the cop wasn't responsible. And
or not only that, but that the prosecution's own witness said that Chauvin was legally allowed to use a taser and chose not to.
So I was questioning whether or not, like, I have reasonable doubt that did the cop being there do it, or was he so stressed that he would have died on the spot anyway?
I would say reasonably. Again,
check this out.
I can do that.
The second degree murder charge was the felony murder rule. That if you commit felony assault against somebody and they die, you get charged a second degree murder. Derek Chauvin was convicted under the premise that his detaining of George Floyd was felony assault on George Floyd.
Okay, you're too smart for me. I mean, you're really paying attention to this.
Well, we did.
I know is I saw dude, and I don't know about you guys. I've had my ass beat by the police because that's where I come from, right?
Yeah.
I saw dude acting in a crazy, irrational manner. That's usually when police show up. But I don't expect him to be dead at the end of it. And sometimes it does happen. But I'm looking at 9 minutes of a guy crying for his mama. Get off his neck. And I
did.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
So this is the thing. I think a lot of people, like I followed the trial. I watched the trial. Most people probably didn't. Derek Chauvin's knee was not consistently on Floyd's neck.
Chauvin should have spoke for himself.
Yeah.
Like, I lost it. I blanked out. I have stress. You know, you should have said something for yourself.
Got a constitutional right to the Fifth Amendment.
You absolutely do. And you decided to take that. And now.
I thought you said a really interesting
thing. Nah, he was going to jail no matter what. And this is the point.
Prison.
Prison, right.
Prison.
For life. For the rest of his life. So it's not a life conviction, but all the years combined. LeBron James tweeting this, right? We have a whole bunch of left-wing activists saying in no uncertain terms, the only reason Chauvin was convicted is because they burned the city down. That's not justice.
No, it's dumbass to burn the city down.
But they did.
But
figuratively, like, they burned down a bunch of different buildings in the city and smashed a bunch of windows. Whenever you say they burned the city down, you get all these journalists being like, false, Minneapolis is still a city. It still exists. Did we mean they burned down a bunch of buildings? Calm down.
You wanted to say, brother?
Yeah, you said earlier that this isn't entertainment, man. This people are treating this like reality TV, and it's destroying people. It's making people they're forgetting that it's real life. And
no, they live on the internet, bro.
Yeah, that's true, right? But there's a swath of America where it's really important, whether it be Black America or Blue America. And all in between. To some people, it's really serious. To too many of us, it's a ratings grab. Yeah. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that tries to bring something.
You used to work at the New York Times and where else?
Fox.
And were you the kind of guy that chased ratings in the beginning of your career?
I've never chased ratings. Never. I just figured if you did go work, it would do what it would do. And mostly, journalism, right? Doesn't get any ratings, so you don't have to worry about it. You can just be in the crowd with everybody.
All changed, though, in the past several years.
Yeah, but now tell me, you might get ratings, but who's doing anything that lasts? Look at anything we're talking about, anything we're watching. Tell me, you out there, any of this stuff, are you going to show your grandchildren? One thing you're going to put in your drawer and go, I was alive.
Dude. The likelihood that any of these journalists, I'm doing air quotes, would show their grandchildren the things they've done in terms of their work is laughable.
Yikes.
Could you imagine an 80-year-old guy being like, come here, little Billy. This is when I wrote 5 pictures of Brad Pitt's junk. I won an internet award for that one.
Billy.
It's going to be in a book.
I met your grandmother when I worked at BuzzFeed. Here's an article she wrote where she said, Trump is literally worse than Hitler.
I really don't think they're going to be going to their grandkids and being proud of that stuff.
I got to say, to make it all about me, my time at the New York Times, my wife kept everything I wrote and she cut them and she put them in these big, gigantic clip books. So there's 3 of these things.
That's what I'm saying.
They're like for my great grandchildren. And then all the stuff I wrote for the New York Times was bound in a book and they translated into Polish and it's coming out. So I feel like I just wrote about, nice guy Nick and Easy Eddie and regular people. And that's the word of the stuff.
If you're doing, what would you call it, like human interest pieces?
All of it. You take human interest plus news and you wrap it into something that somebody wants to read and it's consumable.
This is the thing, you know, if they were writing articles where it's like, you know, Janice's Bakery won an award, the community is very happy.
I think that stink bug is
making you feel sick, huh? Yeah. That's why I spilled the beer. If you were in a story that wasn't particularly globally consequential, but it was a good story about the community and about the things going on, I think that's something you want to show your kids or your grandkids. But these people at some of these news outlets writing about Brad Pitt's junk and like, you know, what was there one article? It was like written by some feminist, like, what did she call it? It was like guys with tight pants, you could see their junk.
Yep.
And it was like, look at all these guys in tight pants. I'm like, congratulations, that journalism degree is paying off. But you know what the problem is?
She likes guys in tight pants.
But here's the thing, journalism's become a ratings industry. You know, so they want the clicks, they want the ads.
Well, necessarily so, because the underpinnings of it have disappeared. So you now got to give people what they want. So there is a responsibility of people to.
Back in the day, was it like one really wealthy person would subsidize a company to study and you know report on anything, regardless of its popularity or clickbaity-ness?
It's a combination of factors. Marketing was a big play. So I think correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. Yeah, definitely. Reuters. Do you know about the history of Reuters? Thomson Reuters. My understanding is that the news department was just an advertising for like legal documents or something. I don't know the full history, so I'm probably getting it wrong. But I've been to their headquarters a couple times. My understanding was that they have a private business, and the news outlet advertised their business. So that was a big thing. These newspapers would sell ads in the papers. They'd sell the paper itself. So if you're selling the paper, you're covering your costs. You're selling ads, you're making more money. And the only place to get media was in these papers. Then you want to sell as many papers as possible. When you're competing with only a small handful of, you know, very powerful and big newspapers in a major city, you got to make sure you're reaching a certain number of people. So for a period, news outlets were trying to hit the lowest common denominator. That meant the news coverage was always fairly close to the middle because they didn't want to offend the left. They didn't want to offend the right. So they had to keep it fairly balanced if they want to maximize the amount of views they were going to get. Nowadays, you got infinite choices. You go online, you can get your news from anybody.
Sure, yeah.
So now everyone's like, screw it. Let's just go.
Give me what I want.
They're investors who will invest in a company that does nothing but crazy far leftist stuff, crazy far right wing stuff, and they're like, I got my finger in both outlets, so I'm making money. I don't
care
what. Right, exactly.
You know what I know about Reuters? When they built the new Reuters building in Times Square, I was there soup to nuts, and I did a series of stories on the iron workers, the guys that lay the steel. And the Mohawk Indians have been building the skyscrapers in New York since 1900.
Wow, really?
And there's a whole sort of book about them. There's a whole genre about them. And I took it to them, and I said, "Do you know these guys?" Well, that was my grandpa.
Cool.
Well, that was my uncle. What happened to him? He fell and he died. And I wrote the next chapter in that. So I don't know about Reuters, but I know that I captured the Mohawk Indians in the next generation. And that's what I like to do.
You know, I think one of the problems with news is it doesn't need to be the biggest story that's going to change the world where you're going to win, you know, you're going to be put up on stage and everyone's going to cheer for you and clap. It just has to be good stories, stories that are important for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they're stories that are uplifting and inspire people. Sometimes they're calling out bad behavior from politicians, exposing corruption. And too much of the journalism we have today, you can't even call it journalism. It's tabloid trash. It's, you know, listicles.
That's why they're coming here. They'd like to be talked. Somebody be straight with me. I'm sure.
Definitely.
These hundreds of thousands of people that listen, they don't agree with everything you're saying.
No, mostly, like, it was funny. We had Will Chamberlain here. And I'm like,
you had Will Chamberlain here?
Yeah.
Not Wilt Chamberlain.
Not the stilt.
Yeah. Will Chamberlain.
Oh, Will.
The attorney.
Yeah. Will.
The conservative, he runs humanevents.com. But
he ain't no Will Chamberlain, no, I'll tell you yet. That right now.
Still,
right. Will Chamberlain.
We disagreed, and everybody in the super chats are like, Tim, you're wrong. Will's right. But I guess so long as, you know, I'll tell you something that people like. When you brought up your position on Derek Chauvin, and then I presented a counterpoint, you said, well, you know more than I do. That's the kind of attitude people expect from what journalists are supposed to have. That if you have an opinion on something, you're willing to say, okay, well, I'll learn more about it and, you know, correct
me
if
I'm
wrong.
Who are you calling a journalist? I'm a reporter, bro.
Reporter.
Mm.
Honest guy.
You
want to
know the difference?
Honest guy. How about that? What's the difference?
I do my best, but the difference between a journalist and a reporter is a journalist went to Ivy League. No, I'm just, I know I'm going to get that BS from. A journalist can type without looking. Reporters do it with fingers. A reporter drinks with the public.
yeah,
in public, and a journalist drinks in private with the public official.
That's what
so
they do.
This whole thing about journalism, it's you're a reporter. That's all you are.
Yeah, but these people over at CNN, they're the ones sitting
down. Oh, those guys.
I mean, look at Cuomo's brother. Is Cuomo on CNN?
Fredo? Then,
Fredo.
And then, what a phony. Dude.
I've been in the basement. Uh-huh. I'm coming up. I've been in the basement.
His son you were face. Found in the Hamptons on your bicycle. Your brother's over there writing a book and throwing old people in the nursing homes who infect other old people. Garbage. That's what we don't need. Sorry, that's my...
Yeah, I would 100% agree with everything you just did.
Yes.
But that's the point. These are journalists. They complain every day about the insults and the threats against journalists when they're literally the brothers of corrupt government officials who do bits with giant Q-tips instead of actually telling the people, and they lie about having
COVID. Did you ever, Chris, me, you, I'd never seen you on the block. Hmm. You're a rich kid. I never saw you do any reporting. Did you ever go to a nursing home? Because I went to the nursing homes, and I picked up the dead bodies with the body collector to get a look at the nursing homes. Did you? I mean, you're not the moralizer, dude. I don't know who you are. I didn't grow up with you. I didn't.
No, he's the guy who covered it up.
Oh, come on, man. And I got, it's not political. It's fake theater, and we don't need it. Do some work. If you got the work, I'll believe you. If you can present it with some pizzazz, then I like you.
You are preaching to the choir.
Yes.
And they're all cheering for what you are saying. The media industry in this country is just a bunch of people who are, like I said, what, stenographers for the state, huh?
Yeah, you got to pay. You know, if you don't pay, then you're not going to get the highest quality. Because to defend the current reporter, they got him doing 18 things a day. You know, you are a stenographer. The governor said this. You don't even got time to check out if what the governor said was right.
Yeah.
You're just pushing it. I'm against it.
But you do have to assume anything Trump would say was wrong.
Yeah, look,
that was the other thing.
Trump's a mess.
For sure.
Trump's a mess. But there's some things he did that were correct. Like the vaccines here.
But how about, for some reason, the media always said he was wrong. Like, come on, a broken clock is right twice a day. If you're saying he's wrong all the time, so we got problems.
Well, the majority of the media did. The ones wearing the blue jacket, right?
Yep, that's right.
And then the ones wearing the red jacket said he could do no wrong. What about us who wear the vests? We're just here in the middle. They're trying to get along.
But they're gone, bro. It's like the...
No, it's the audience and it's us.
Yeah?
We're not gone.
That's true.
We're not. We just want something.
I'll put it this way. The guys in the red jackets, you know, they work for smaller and much less ubiquitous news outlets. They're not the prominent mainstream corporate media in this country.
What? What are you talking about? Fox News?
Fox News is one channel. You got CBS, NBC, ABC,
MSNBC, HLN. I didn't say it was. Well, everybody knows that.
They're mainstream media for sure.
Yeah.
So, but
reporters are mainly liberal. That's true.
But listen.
I know. I worked at the New York Times.
But I'm agreeing with you.
I voted for Obama twice.
What I'm saying is,
and Ronald Reagan.
You have much fewer of the guys in the red jackets than the guys in the blue jackets.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How about everybody take off the jackets and just do what's supposed to be done? Sometimes the guy in the red jacket's wrong, and you're wearing a red jacket.
That's right.
You're supposed to be wearing a non-collared shirt when you're doing what we're doing. You just regular?
Well, now you
got to call it as you see it, based in fact.
But check this out. You got people like Matt Taibbi, Glenn Greenwald, and Michael Tracy. Are you familiar with those guys?
Matt's a friend of mine.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the legit guys that are wearing the vest. There's very few people actually doing journalism. But they're the guys who will come out and say something like, you know, Trump was right about this, that, and this, but wrong about all these other things, and Trump's got attitude problems.
As it should be done.
But why is it when you go to the New York Times, you go to CNN, they're wearing the blue jackets? Look, I get it.
I'm not answering for him.
If Fox News is wearing red jackets.
How conspiratorial do we get?
No.
No, it's not conspiracy,
we're trying
to guess who they are, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You were at Ground Zero as a security guard.
Yeah.
And I was at Ground Zero as a reporter. And somewhere in there is the story. Not so much, you know, the city councilman today said that the smoke from grounds.
No, there were molten, there was rivers of molten steel for months after the building came down underneath the pile. Just molten steel flowing for months.
Remember that?
I want some physics behind that.
Did you ever see a doorknob? Did you ever see a urinal?
No. I didn't look
at them. They were vaporized.
Yeah.
Oh, if I might.
Pulverized in dust.
Not to hijack your show. No. If you, it means a lot to me. I'm older. It's the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. And if you could maybe throughout the summer think about it, read something about it, remember some of the names, that would be cool because we're going to get it for, again, the media. We're going to get it for one day, the big ribbon cutting and parade and speech. And it's so much more than it. It's all of us regular people. That was our day. Those who died, the secretaries, and those that came to pick them up, the firemen, the cops, the regular dudes with long hair, just guys from Queens trying to do right. Remember
now,
that.
Now think about this. Somebody today who's 26 years old doesn't remember any of it.
No, I know.
They're a little kid.
That's cool.
But now they're reporters for these news outlets. They don't get it. They don't understand.
You know what they do? That's funny. They compare COVID to 9/11. COVID's a natural occurrence until we find out about the Chinese lab. 9/11 was mass murder. And then it launched a bunch of bad stuff and a bunch of bad mistakes. And we're still in Afghanistan. That is a whole different deal. So remember, young people.
Well, this is one of the big issues affecting journalism today. And people are starting to finally get it. Because I'm wondering, like, we had this lefty guy on the show.
Oh, what's his name?
Vosh.
Is he all right?
I think, well, I completely disagree with a lot of his opinions.
Did he have a tail?
Did what?
Did he have a tail?
No, no.
He's a normal guy.
He was a normal guy.
Yeah.
All right, Vosh.
He's good.
We had a long argument, and I think one of the important things that came up was like when I would reference Occupy Wall Street, he was like, oh, I was a teenager. I don't remember any of that.
That was brilliant, by the way.
What was?
Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, yeah. So look, I'm down there, and I'm in my 20s.
It's brilliant. Brilliant coverage.
I remember all this stuff. He was a teenager who wasn't paying attention to politics. So what happens when you get somebody who doesn't understand the financial crisis, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, 9/11, and now they're prominent media personalities influencing more young people? It's no surprise you have a lot of young people who are of a particular political persuasion, and they're all kind of in agreement with each other around the same age because they don't remember the same things we remember.
Right.
They don't remember what Joe Biden did or Barack Obama did during those years.
No offense to them.
So when I So when I'm like, here's what I don't like Joe Biden. And I'll reference maybe like the extrajudicial assassinations that Obama carried out. Maybe the killing of Anwar al-Awlaki, Abdulrahman al-Awlaki is two very prominent, notable instances. They don't remember that. They were like, I was 13. I have no idea.
One of the most important parts is witnessing the militarization of the United States after 9/11. Like 1998, we were not a military.
Dude, you could go into an airport. You could stand at the gate and wait for your family to come out.
And we weren't at war. It was crazy, dude. And then after 2002, now they can drone bomb any American citizen at any time with the Patriot Act legally.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
It's called extrajudicial assassination.
Boy.
There will be no Che Guevara anymore. There won't. That revolution business is over. It is. Because we have drones. We got all facial recognition. So you can go downtown and burn stuff up. You can go to the Capitol and break shit.
They'll find you.
I can't swear.
He's trying. I appreciate that.
And you can do that baboonery at the Capitol, but it's not getting us anywhere.
Don't do those things. But I think to your point, we saw a year of people going and burning down buildings across this country.
And tearing up the Capitol.
But tearing up the Capitol, those people have the FBI putting up billboards, the FBI saying, find out who they are. They're going through facial recognition. They're finding each and every single person who did
that. Because that's the Capitol.
That's right.
That's different. Gucci store is different to me than the Capitol.
Well, no, but they firebombed federal buildings. You know, they were throwing explosives at federal buildings.
Oh, I'm sure they're getting them. I know they got a few.
They cut them loose. The prosecutor in Portland cut off, I think it was like 4 felony charges for firebombing. I don't know the specific charges, but something related to that. One was felony assault on an officer. So these people, they caught, they arrested, they charged, and then as soon as Biden got in, the prosecutor was like, all right, you're free to go.
Well, I like Portland. I do. I really like it a lot. My kind of people. But if this is what you're wanting, beware.
That's my attitude. I'm like, I don't know. I don't live in Portland, so at this point, you know, I can complain about the double standard for sure. We all can. If they're only going after one group of people and they're ignoring other group of people, it's like we gotta have equality under the law. But I'll tell you this right now. My attitude on the police at this point, if people voted for abolishing the police and all of our arguments fell flat.
Nobody's doing that.
Minneapolis did.
It's more Tweety stuff.
No. Minneapolis literally voted to abolish the police.
City
Council?
Fall of last year.
Yeah, and they backed off it.
But they already lost a bunch of the officers.
I know.
Then they started dumping money to try and get them back.
Exactly.
Now they're arresting and charging the cops. Like, Kim, you see the Kim Potter thing, right?
Why did he get a name drop?
Kim Potter.
Shout out to Kim Potter.
You know the shooting with Dante, right?
Yes.
So this cop.
Oh, yes. There's so many of them.
Well,
the taser.
Right. But yeah. So let's go through this real quick. This guy's wanted for aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. So that's what aggravated robbery is, right? He had a Ruger 45. He gets pulled over.
Yeah, he's got a warrant on it because he was carrying a piece.
No, he had a warrant for robbing a woman at gunpoint.
Right.
So now they also had a misdemeanor, a gross misdemeanor warrant for
his question gun. Is, once again, there's a warrant out for him robbing somebody with a weapon. So what, he made bail?
No.
He made bail.
No.
He skipped
court. He threatened this woman.
Yeah.
And then he fled. She called the police. They issued a warrant for his arrest.
Okay.
He skipped bail on the gun charge. So he didn't, I don't think he realized he
so
had.
So he never was bail. He was.
Right. He was never arrested in the first place. Okay. He had a warrant for that
crime.
There
was a warrant. Okay.
So he gets pulled over, and I think he didn't realize. So when they were like, get out of the car, he says, for what, according to his mom? They get him out of the car, they cuff him, and then he starts resisting. He pulls off, dives into the car, and then they're wrestling with him. And then the cop, Kim Potter, says, taser. She's holding her gun, though. The cop moves. She fires one shot into Dante Wright. He drives off. The bullet kills him. He crashes. He dies. Is it justified to use deadly force against somebody who's wanted for an aggravated robbery charge, who was previously known to be in possession of a Ruger 45, who resists arrest, jumps into their car, and starts reaching for something or doing something out of sight? Should the officer then defend themselves and the lives of others?
You want me to play God here? Again, that's why we have a process. Now, I've got the basics, and I saw some video. I can't be that guy. I will tell you what I do know about life. I know that a cop pulls him over and said he's wanted on a gun charge. So immediately they think he's got some proclivity maybe to be on the lookout. They're talking, they want to arrest him. He dives in a car. Immediately, the cop's already on high alert. I don't know what you're reaching for. Who the hell dives into a car? I don't dive into a car. I get pulled over. I'm not the darkest guy. My hands are here.
Yep.
Okay. I know what's going on in America. I don't dive in a car. I don't know about... I know cops repetitively pull their firearm. They don't pull taser. They don't practice that much with taser. But again, it tells me, maybe, sitting on my couch, she's not the most seasoned person on the street. See what I'm saying?
I think people...
I don't want to burn, and I don't want to fight, well, but so, I will.
So here's the issue. There's no easy answer to these things.
So why are we trying to get one? Why are we doing that?
In what way would you mean?
Like, so what do I think of it? I think it's confusing, and we got to let it... It was right next to... You know, Minneapolis, where the trial's going on. Yeah, so this it's high alert.
Hold on. The point is, so long as they keep burning cities down.
Nothing burned, though, this time. Nothing burned.
In Brooklyn Center, they smashed up a bunch of windows.
They smashed.
And one of the jurors in the Chauvin trial lived there, and they had to drive through a city full of boarded up windows. Maxine Waters said, if we don't get our conviction, and they weren't sequestered for
that. That was crazy.
So listen. How are we supposed to have the law enforced? If you got some guy who threatens a woman at gunpoint for $800 cash, and then should the cops go and arrest this person? I'm not asking you. I'm saying rhetorically. My position is, well, yeah, we can't have people going around doing that. If the person then resists arrest and jumps into their car, should the officer then just submit and be like, well, I might get shot, I guess? Or do we ask?
Probably getting that way, isn't it?
That's my point. So at this point, I think the only reasonable solution for cops and for the people in the cities is to leave. Because if you live in an area where this kind of stuff is happening between riots, look, if you think cops killing people is a problem and the cops are now going to get arrested in any instance where there's a police involved shooting, like, so going back to, real quick to the LeBron James thing, this 16-year-old girl who got shot was literally pulling the knife back, ready to shoot or ready to stab somebody. And the cop shot her in defense of another woman.
Yep.
And the people there immediately got mad at the cop and called him a murderer. I don't see it. I don't see how you could be a smart person and think staying on the job makes sense when everybody wants you to leave. Regardless of whether or not you or I or anyone thinks it's right or wrong, cops probably shouldn't be doing any of it. If people say you're a murderer for trying to arrest someone for aggravated robbery, maybe you should stop doing that because the public court of public opinion is clearly not on your side and you're going to go to prison.
I will say two things. LeBron James is wrong. He knew he was wrong. And I'm going to cut him some break here so the man can grow. Because, again, I don't want to fight more than we already are. Two, we do have a problem with police. I don't. It's not a majority of police. We have a problem. We got to fix it. Then I'll say this. I know the measurements, but half of all people that die at the hands of cops are white.
It's like 61%, I think, isn't it?
61%.
I could be wrong.
60% of the country is white. 20% is Latino, and 12% is black. 50% of the deaths by cops are white. 20% of the deaths of Latinos and 30% of black. So the Latinos are dropped by their proportion, the whites almost, and the blacks 2.5 times more.
There's a lot underlying that is the problem.
I would submit this to you. What kind of Latino people? What kind of white people? Mm. It's a class issue.
Yes, it
completely
is.
Completely agree.
Study will show you the less bread you got, the more rowdy you are. If you're from my corner of the world, that's what we do. We party. When you get loud and rowdy, the police show up. I'm not diminishing a traffic stop, and I'm not diminishing what happened with George Floyd. Oh, no, that's murder. I said it straight up. I think Chauvin got what he deserved. But if we could come together, because remember the rednecks at the Capitol, what were they doing? If the police pig, right? They really showed what they thought about law enforcement.
But you know why that was?
I don't. I wasn't there.
Well, so we have this year of lockdowns where small businesses have cops show up, barricade the doors, arrest people, beat people, arrest families for violating COVID restrictions. And then you started seeing these conservatives, these right-wing individuals, throwing the Blue Lives Matter and the flag in the Blue Lives Matter flag in the dirt, stepping on it because the cops.
Are those conservatives?
Yes.
No, those weren't.
Yep, they were.
Those were a-holes, dude.
Throwing the Blue Lives Matter.
Really? Like, I was locked up and I'm angry? Well, aren't we asking people to have some personal responsibility? And aren't they included? Oh, no way.
No, man. Okay. When they shut
maybe
down...
Maybe I'm misunderstanding.
When they locked down churches and sent the cops in New York to go arrest Jewish people and weld only the Jewish parts
another
shut,
problem.
You got people coming out saying the cops were disproportionately enforcing unconstitutional restrictions. And even when the when you get like the courts telling Cuomo, telling Whitmer, telling Wolf and PA to stop doing this, they would say, I'll just do a new executive order. You can't stop me. So at a certain point, the people on the right were like, yo, cops, why are you enforcing what the courts have already said no to? And so they start throwing the Blue Lives Matter flags in the dirt. Then when it comes down to January 6th, these people have no respect for cops. They don't care.
Well, you know, because I know a lot of cops. Cops treated me well during COVID. Cops went to work. In fact, here's where it's at, as I see it, as a reporter and as a man and a citizen. The only government that even responds to you anymore in this country is the police or the paramedic or the firefighter. Do me a favor right now. Everybody call your congressperson. See if you get a call back. Call your mayor. Call your city council person.
Yeah,
they
right.
only come calling on election season. Mm-hmm. So we've asked the people, I don't know where you're from, but of my class, the paramedics, the cops, the firemen, to do all the work of the government, which is of the high class, and they don't answer us. They just send factories overseas, right? They give their nieces jobs, and we're over here with our pants around our ankles. Our restaurants are closed, and you can't explain. You're coming into my shul. You're not letting me go to my mass. And you don't understand the problem, amongst other things. Race is a problem. Everybody knows that. It's green. There ain't no green in this country, and we're faking the green now. We're printing fake green.
Yeah. That's a whole other worm, Ken. I mean, talking about the inflation, the mass inflation by a bank, by the Federal Reserve.
Ah, oh, he said
no,
it!
No oversight.
Everyone's got a drink.
Everyone take a drink. No, just kidding. Drink responsibly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got
and,
it.
And how that's devaluing our currency, creating more poverty, more class diversity, more stress that's causing, could lead to more unrest. I mean, these people, there's no oversight. That I think is the real issue.
I gotta just call out personal responsibility. Like, if there are cops who wanted to enforce, if you got people on the right and they're saying, we don't agree. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, snap.
I said Federal Reserve.
What a joint you're running.
If you got
David Koresh never did it like this, bro.
No. You got, so we have Westlaw energy drinks.
Oh, yeah,
so if you got people on the right and they're saying, we don't want the cops to enforce what the community opposes, and the cops say, we don't care. If there's people who are like, we just want to cut hair, and the cops show up to a small town in Michigan and arrest some dude or give him a fine because he was giving haircuts.
Yeah, the barber of Owasso.
That's right. You got people on the right saying, stop doing this. The cops say, shut up, we don't care. Mm-hmm. Then why would these people keep supporting the police? You got a First Amendment right to peaceably assemble.
Let me put it this
and to
way.
Speak.
Let me put it this way. In Detroit, my capital city, it's the spiritual capital city. It's the biggest city in Michigan. I know Lansing's the capital, but Detroit is the capital. A cop that starts that job, ready? Drum roll. You got it.
Lightly on the table.
$38,000.
Wow.
America's most violent city. $38,000.
Who in their right mind would do that?
We defunded the police in Detroit when we did the bankruptcy. We took their salary. We took a piece of their pension. We took their medical when they retire. So if you want good police, you got to pay. And yes, we need police. You need high caliber people. You need to pay for mental health for them.
Yes.
Do they go see? Does any community around here require the police to go see a counselor? Just get it off your chest.
It's hard.
Benefits. We don't have anything. Get used to it. Watch. I suspect things are going to get worse.
Something like 260 police departments got defunded last year.
Or less funded.
They got their funding removed. So
completely removed. Yeah.
Well, no. Defunded meaning that they were taking portions of their budget away. Like NYPD lost, I think, like a billion, like 20 something percent of their budget.
Yeah.
This was predominantly progressives calling for defunding the police.
Maybe it's because we don't have tax revenue. Could it be a sleight of hand? We're playing the political game,
perhaps,
and yet we're broke. Because look at the federal government.
Yeah. Where is it putting that money?
What did we just print in the last year?
Why is there such a thing as a black budget?
$8 trillion or something?
40% of all currency out there?
Made in the last year.
Was made in the last year.
The charts look insane.
Well, we must not be depressed. We must be educated and right on. And we must figure out a way to respect each other, come together. I know this sounds like a sermon, but I do believe that good reporting can give a good reflection of what's happening to us.
How do you deal with a multi-billion-dollar news industry that makes their money off inflaming tensions between political faction, between classes, between races?
I left. I don't know what you're doing.
I left, yeah. We started our own thing.
Yeah, I have the BS News Hour. No BS News Hour.
That's your show?
Yeah.
I guess that's what you got to do. You got to get away
from the plug.
No, we'll shout it out much, much more too.
That's a good way. Become an example of another option.
Mm-hmm. What you want to go run to John real quick?
Yeah,
go to it. We'll talk about Jack Posobiec and Space Jam.
I might sneak a cigarette with your hippies down there.
All right, we'll try and go quick.
Yeah,
shout out to Jack Posobiec who turned me on to putting coffee peanut butter powder,
peanut butter and coffee.
In my coffee.
Brilliant.
Thanks,
peanut
Jack.
Peanut butter powder?
Brilliant. Yeah, we got that peanut butter powder. A scoop of that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We got
the story on Jack Posobiec.
Thanks, Poso.
Bounding into comics, reports OAN host Jack Posobiec calls for boycott of Space Jam, A New Legacy, after LeBron James threatened police. I don't know if he's serious, which is funny.
I think he's joking.
But I love how these tweets just end up getting news coverage. So, peace promoter Poso is his name. Boycott Space Jam. Yes. LeBron threatens police. All right. The call to boycott the film comes after James posted a photo of a cop on Twitter. He captioned the photo writing, "You're next, accountability."
Yikes.
James did delete his tweet, as Posobiec points out. He writes, "Hi, LeBron James, why did you delete this?" The photos of Officer Nicholas Reardon, this we get. All right, okay. Space Jam, A New Legacy, is being distributed by AT&T on Warner Brothers, blah, blah, blah. Do plan on taking up Posobiec's call and boycotting Space Jam, A New Legacy, after LeBron James threatened a Columbus police officer who prevented a stabbing.
I'm assuming they meant to say, do you plan to?
Right.
Yeah,
I just read the articles as they're presented.
Jeez, right. Copy editing.
Yeah, seriously. Give me
what
a break.
I didn't even know there was a Space Jam happening.
This is the right? first I've heard of it.
Why I don't want to watch it anyway.
What is it, a remake of?
Wait, hold on. I'm going to pretend I want to watch it and say I'm boycotting it.
Okay. There you go.
I do want to watch Space Jam. I love the OG Space Jam.
I'm a huge fan of it, actually.
Yeah.
No, I had no plan on watching this
Fun
movie.
Show.
Okay, I'm not going to watch it. I wouldn't have watched it. I'm not going to watch it. Although, I think a boycott.
I'm back.
Big fan of Space Jam?
I didn't wash my hands. It was so
oh
fast.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
quick. Speed is of the essence.
Just protect us. I'll do
that's
this.
Better.
Are you a Space Jam fan?
No, man.
Did you see the first one?
Is that the one with Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Grow up.
That's silly, yeah.
So were they remaking the original? Or is this?
Sorry. That's right. You were children when that came out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it was good for us.
Well, okay. Yeah. Of course you loved it.
Dude, when this came out and they had the Burger King cups or whatever.
Yeah.
What was it? They had like the glass jar of jam.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I was so excited to go see that in the movies, man.
I think I was like 40 years old.
I was like,
yeah, you're like,
what year did that come out?
Nah, you must have been in your, you must have been in your
93 or something.
Yeah, I was like 94.
94. I was just at the age where I could realize it was like, really cheap propaganda. It just seemed like
propaganda.
It
just seemed like
cheap.
What? They were using a basketball player to sell a product.
What product?
He wasn't like a movie. He wasn't a good actor, Michael Jordan.
You're saying they put him in a movie for the sake of selling tickets to a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of cool.
But I didn't see the movie.
That they took sort of like the Mary Poppins model and brought it back with Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Remember?
You take animation and real people, because that's not really. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was in that time.
That was a good movie.
Right?
At least when I remember that
exactly.
being a good movie.
So they reinvented a genre. So this one is just
just dumb.
How much money you need?
It was really high budget, too.
You know what this is for? They're trying to target people like between my age and Ian's age who have kids who are going to be like...
Who loved it.
I remember Space Jam. I want to take my kids to see Space Jam.
Oh, it's so
this is an example of cultural decay. No.
Heavy.
No, hold on. Hear me out.
Here come the Visigoths.
Name a Christmas song.
Doom, 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 doom.
Something to the
bottom. How old is that? How old is that song?
About 1,000 years old.
Uh-huh.
Give me a more modern Christmas song.
I'm dreaming.
What year was that song?
Of a white, let me finish. Christmas, 1945.
Yeah.
Can you try another more modern Christmas song?
Oh. Santa got run over by a reindeer.
Hey, what year was that song?
Oh, the 60s.
Yeah.
So how come?
I can keep going.
I think the most modern I can think of is All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
Exactly.
But
I was getting there.
Mm-hmm. Every song is from the 50s,
there.
From the 60s.
Yeah.
Really, really old. We're not writing new music. Our movies are regurgitations. It's not changing. We're not making new things. We're not inspiring people. We are just saying, I'm going to do what I did when I was a kid, again, with my kids. Instead of, hey, let's write a new concept, a new movie, a new song. Let's change it up. We're stagnating.
Exactly.
Our culture is decaying.
When's the last great protest song since Kendrick Lamar? I mean, we're living in it. Where's the music, man?
Mm-hmm.
It's too corny and corporate.
Where's the writing,
bro,
man?
Bro. When the biggest
corporate.
Protest movement.
Where's the art?
It's true.
Hold on. When the biggest protest movement is on the same side as Walmart and Amazon,
right?
I don't think those are protest songs.
Right.
I think those are corporate jingles.
Yeah. I wrote a Christmas song. It's called It's Christmas Time. It's on YouTube.
That's it. Ian,
hum a few bars.
I wrote it.
Ian wrote it.
It's Christmas time. Something, something, song.
You don't even know your own song.
No, no, I haven't listened to it in like 12 years. But I wrote it. It's too. It could be refined.
I'll say this. Don't boycott Space Jam because LeBron James tweeted something dumb. Mm. Boycott regurgitations. Yes. Demand something new.
Thank you.
Or you know what? Maybe. Check it out when it comes on Netflix. I mean, I'm looking.
It's not
going to
be on Netflix.
Watch.
No. Netflix doesn't do that anymore.
Okay, but you know, maybe.
Well,
maybe,
I guess it come out on Netflix.
Maybe
like
check it out and tell
afterwards.
Everybody else it sucks. Look, I'm a sucker. I still get Kentucky Fried Chicken. I will go to Taco Bell. Wait, are they sponsors of the show?
No.
I won't go to Taco. Well, I'll go back to Taco Bell once you sponsor the show. But I do that. I'm not a purist.
Yeah, sometimes you got to use the corrupt system to fix the corrupt system.
I'm part of it, man.
You're making something new. You're doing the No BS News Hour.
Mm-hmm.
You got something new. We're doing something new. We
should
are going to be
up?
Funding shows.
We should hook up.
We should. Yeah.
You want to do news? Let me know, and we'll get some good news going on.
Yeah,
we're going to do news. We're going to do shows. We're going to do comedy. We're going to do movies. We're going to do sci-fi. Because I'm sick and tired of every single thing. It's been years, man. Since when was. You know what? I like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the superhero movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But come on, they're just making movies out of comics from 70 years ago.
Yeah,
but at least I don't got to read them now.
Sure. It's a great modern adaptation of something that's really, really old. At a certain point, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, and these guys were like, how about a guy who turns green and gets real strong when he's mad? Well, actually, I think he originally turned gray. But, you know, you get the point. How about a guy who can jump over tall buildings and for some reason he has, like, ice breath? They made something up. And they worked on it. It became popular because they worked on it. Now everybody is just trying to say, I don't want to do the work. I want what he's got. Let me inherit your wealth, and I'm not going to make something new. These companies don't want to take the risks. They don't want to make new, exciting things because it's a potential risk.
I got one.
Yeah.
Christmas, old movies being made into new movies, old books, right? Maybe. Why can't we get a new Ten Commandments?
Ooh.
I'm so down with that.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
The movie Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I do. That? Charlton Heston. Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, remake. I thought you meant to actually write 10 new commandments.
Oh, yeah, that works too. Yeah.
That is, I think, even more important.
Right? I don't know about that. We'll discuss
look
later.
Look at the Manila principles.
Commandments.
Yeah, the Manila principles.
But why don't
six
they redo the Ten Commandments? That could be a pretty sweet.
I would love to play that role.
You look like you're getting
the redoing Dune.
Wait, Jesus doesn't come till later.
All right. Yeah. Moses is
and
the
and listen,
man.
I want to ask you something, Jesus. When did you get white?
It took about 2,000 years.
Yeah,
from what I heard,
it took the Romans.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're redoing Dune. Ian's really excited for that.
Oh,
Dune.
Yes, Dune.
Oh yeah, but I heard it might be woke.
Mm.
Oh really?
I don't know many details.
Dune.
Did you read it?
Dune.
Wait, is that
like
the one?
It was like a famous '80s
Spice
movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Early '80s. Lynch did one. David Lynch did it.
Wasn't it the dude from The Police?
I don't know.
Yeah, Sting was in it.
Sting.
He played really?
Big flop,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was actually really good in that. It was a weird Lynch movie, but Sting was awesome in
was
it.
Was it a big flop?
It was, yeah.
And they're gonna remake
they tried they gave they did monologues, like long monologues which don't translate to film. They're good in theater and in books they make a lot of sense, but not in
they
movies.
Were, they
you
were doing
dialogue.
inner monologues.
Yeah, it was really
it was
weird.
Weird.
Like, it would just show his face and he's thinking and you hear his voice for like 3 minutes. It's so boring in cinema.
Yeah, they tried to make a book into a movie without making it a movie.
And then in the 90s, they did one with William Hurt and a Dune made-for-TV movie, but they translated all that monologue into dialogue, and it made it way more interesting.
We just need new stuff. Mm. That's what we're doing. Oh, so we put our vlog got age-restricted.
Yes!
What's up with that?
What age restricted? What happened? What?
Just we made a vlog from the house showing people the house, because the point is, one of the things I'm big on is we got to make culture. Which means you can't just sit around and complain about politics because politics is downstream from culture.
Right on.
You need to make stuff to inspire people and build community. And so I'm like, we're going to do that. We're going to start a vlog. We started a vlog. We got this Pro BMX
showing them this joint?
Yeah. So we got the ramps. We got the garage.
Oh, no. This place is a trip.
Totally.
No, you walk in here unexpected. I walked in today like, what the hell is going on?
It's great.
Everybody barefoot. The computer's going up. They're finding your IPN. They're doing
IPN.
They're talking about Dracula. I mean, it's like, what?
They got
bows and arrows outside.
Oh, we launched race cars over the garage going
yeah,
like
oh,
60 miles
true.
An hour. And we put up this vlog, and YouTube age restricted it. No, you can't. You can't. You can't.
Oh.
Oh, we're not showing that.
No, you can't.
It's not real. As far as you know, YouTube.
So,
<That's right. laughs>
it's an antique.
That's not an antique.
What's not an NC?
That's real.
What is?
So we have a vlog that age restricted it. And so that's, I guess, that's, I just particularly annoying. I thought I would mention.
What does that mean exactly?
You have to be signed in and 18 years old to watch the vlog.
And that's because they think.
That's actually kind of cool.
No, it's bad. It means you can't put on other websites and you can't share it.
Okay, but you're creating a new culture. So you know what?
Trying to.
If what that vlog's saying is for real, maybe come find it.
Just lean into it.
We can't make it easy for you. Give some effort.
That's right.
Maybe that's why they put a restriction on it, because they don't want us to actually influence people to be free, independent thinkers who want to build and create and inspire others.
That's why I don't mind people taking to the streets, man. Just don't tear it up.
I agree, man. Peaceful protest.
Somebody mess with you, drop them.
I think peaceful, be disruptive, but not violent, not destructive. Disruptive means like you kind of annoy people when you're marching down the street and you're kind of, you know, in the way a little bit.
It worked with MLK and it worked with Gandhi. MLK got things a lot farther than what Malcolm X saying but never doing.
They set buildings on fire. They caused $2 billion in damage and they got their conviction.
Yeah, the insurance company. You know the old argument.
Whatever. No. The buildings in Minneapolis couldn't be rebuilt because the cost of rubble removal exceeded the liability insurance coverage.
Well, it's funny. One of the buildings, I won't name the companies, but one of the buildings that got torn up got a sweet deal, a sweet package, sweet tax abatements and subsidies from the city of Minneapolis to build. It's a multinational.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? How did this happen?
Because they have a main line to the mayor's ear.
Well, it's become American culture now. I'll leave if you don't give me your children's breakfast. You know, my child's school, my child, you know, we do okay. So my child doesn't get the federal breakfast program. But I'm an elder. I'm a man of this community. I go see what they're feeding the kids. Generic Pop-Tarts and orange drink. Our money. Now, I think we all have to feed our children, right? I'm not going to feed your dad for his whole life. But the kid ain't going hungry, not as long as I'm living on the earth. How is it I paid, you reach in my pocket for orange juice? It went to Washington. It went to Lansing. It went to the school board, and magically, my tax money for that child, the orange juice transmogrified into orange drink. Some contracted, yeah.
Which is like food coloring, sugar,
and it's vitamin C, so it's okay. Wait.
They were supposed to buy orange juice.
That's what
they bought. Orange drink.
Why are we feeding our kids orange drink and generic Pop-Tarts?
When you could be giving them BioTrust.
That's
Tito,
right.
Could you imagine if in hospitals they fed patients healthy food instead of sweet drink?
Yeah.
Think about that.
A hospital, a place of healing, and they feed people the same kind of stuff they feed them in public schools.
Where'd the money go?
There are a lot of rich people eating a lot of fancy meals, I'll tell you that. A lot of blue coat media sitting down with public officials being stenographers for them and having fancy dinners.
You know what I love about the media that hangs out with the swells? They think they're a swell. They also think they're a swell. But you know what I always say? You're a hound. You're a poodle laying at the table waiting for a scrap to fall off. Ain't nobody listening to you. Not when the times get real. You think they are. Anybody out there reading the local business magazine?
Yeah.
I think just to cycle back. That the sugar industry is subsidizing like the government in such a way that they're pumping sugar into the schools and the hospitals and the prisons, and that's why we see orange drink.
There's some contractor, isn't there? There's always a contractor.
Let's talk about what's going on with Whitmer.
Yes.
Because let's get into this big thing you're working on. So we had this story. We got this one from Click on Detroit. Michigan Governor Whitmer blasts criticism over visiting sick father in Florida. State leader reacts to criticism in an interview with the Washington Post. Oh, she runs to the Washington Post.
Right.
They're very favorable towards Democrats.
Click on Detroit. You didn't cover it. Sorry, guys. You hearing me? You didn't cover it. And then Click on is writing, the governor of Michigan went to the Washington Post?
Yeah. So what's up with this story? Apparently she was criticizing people who traveled, criticizing Florida. Then she goes to Florida.
No, we got it. We are like ground zero for the United States in like raging pandemic cases, COVID cases. Now, you know,
right around Easter, Good Friday, everybody, I'm not going to lock it down again. And it's now the date is coming. I'm not a COVID denialist in any way, you know? Try to be a good boy. Try to respect my...
He's got his mask.
I caught it. I'm over it. That's why I'm not wearing it. But, you know, I'm not a freak. But she says, listen, don't travel to Florida because it's really bad there. And they got this UK variant. We and they. And I think maybe we got it from them. Number one, her chief operating officer, who's in charge of distributing the vaccine, beats it down to Margaritaville. She's in the Siesta Key or something like that. And meanwhile, Whitmer's on the dais telling Biden, give us the vaccine, unaware that the COO didn't order the 360,000 vaccines that were waiting for us. Because she's down in Margaritaville.
Wow.
With the teeny boppers.
Ooh.
While her 18-year-old son is back home with COVID. Hmm. So you're traveling around with teeny boppers. You've been exposed to COVID, and you're the chief operating officer of the state. So I get on to the next one, spring break. The Department of Health and Human Services, the chief medical director for Michigan, beats it down to Margaritaville. They want to play funny with me. I know it. You know I know it. This, you're going to confirm it or deny it because you know I already know it.
But where's Margaritaville? Like, what are you referencing?
That'd be like the Gulf.
The Gulf.
Like, we're from Michigan.
So these people are traveling down to the Gulf or whatever.
They're
partying?
They're leaving Pandemic Central after they locked us down. Governor told us all to stay put. Try not to go down there. Do the right thing. And her two top health advisors are down there. And we catch them. Part three. Did you go, Governor? Did you go?
She did, didn't she?
Because I know you went.
She did.
Because I'm a reporter. I know people all over the place. There's nothing going to happen we don't know about. But Click-On's not going to do it. NPR's not going to do it. I'll leave it to you to ask why they won't do it. This is germane. So the governor now says, well, I didn't go on spring break. I went to see my ailing father. Snowbird Mansion, West Palm Beach. My brother died. My brother died 3 weeks ago.
That's not funny.
I couldn't be at his deathbed. People couldn't go to funerals. People couldn't see loved ones in the nursing homes. And you're making some cockamamie excuse like this. This is not leadership. It's not. Everything's turned upside down, brother. Our children's lives. They're manic. They're sad. They're confused. Right? They're staring at screens. We did what we were asked. We did not. We thought we were all rowing the boat together. When you know the top three officials in Michigan did this, that boat has sailed. And when I flew into Charlotte, North Carolina this morning, woo, that was packed. I felt like Gulliver's Travel or Rip Van Winkle. Like, I haven't seen a crowd like this in a year and a half. And I'm personally disgusted. And you can parse. You can fake it. Here's what will not be written about the COVID response. It happened in an election year. History will not remember. This is the most important election of our lifetimes.
That's right.
Okay. They won't remember the games that everybody was playing. Everybody was playing. Everybody. Right, left, and middle.
History is segmented. It's really interesting. When people talk about the Spanish flu, for instance, mm-hmm. often they don't talk about World War I. Then you start to read about it, and you're like, oh, wow, that kind of happened simultaneously for the most part. There are a lot of times in history where people will reference something like the Great Depression, and then you got to understand the context around World War I before it and what led up to these things. But, you know, we do these things with history. The story was the pandemic. You're right. In 100 years, they'll be like the pandemic. There will be a separate historical moment where they'll read about the election, but they won't be in the same context.
Yes. How we got jimmied. We got gamed. Again, I don't want to sound like a denialist because I've never seen in my lifetime the hospitals overflow. So that's true. Do not even
tweet me anything about that. That's true. But who did it hit? One more time. The institutionalized elderly. The very thing the government's responsible for. So when I see Fauci doing his morning talk shows, what is the nursing home strategy, sir? Because we now know before COVID, 400,000 people died in the nursing home a year from communicable diseases.
Wow.
And 550,000 died from COVID. We got a COVID every year in these places. Now Biden wants to come with $400 billion to deal with it. Okay, that's good. So, but before we crap that money down a hole, you want to tell me specifically what we're doing? Or are the orange juice contractors going to eat it up?
So you're talking about what they did with putting COVID patients in nursing homes.
Yeah, they took the positive and put them in with the healthy to clear out the hospital.
So I guess you're suing.
I'm suing the state of Michigan for this. We've come up with an asterisk. We have a death count. And then there'll be an asterisk. Vital record search. So we add those in. Okay. When did they die? They won't tell us. How old were they? They won't tell us. What was their race? They won't tell us. And specifically, where was their primary residence? Was it a nursing home? Are you pulling a Cuomo here? Are we trying to hide statistical deaths to make it look better? Because look, as you add more deceased people to a list and less of the deceased people come from a nursing home, you look like a winner. Why won't you give it to me? This is our data. Why do I have to sue my... This is not the Soviet Union.
I think the reason's probably obvious, isn't it? Because the number's probably bad, like with what Cuomo did.
Even as right today as we stand, we're no better than average. Which is what we like to say in Michigan. We did no better, no worse.
Until the data comes out.
Teach a redneck to count, and he'll start counting.
What happens if it comes out, and the data comes out, and it shows that it's a lot worse?
That's bad. Now, here's the thing. What happens if they give me the data, and it shows what they're reporting to be true? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to write that. That's the honest and dignified and professional thing to do.
I just don't think we have journalism anymore. You know, I guess we don't have real reporters anymore.
We do. Should we just name a few?
But there's a small handful.
Okay, we'll name them. Do that. Let's do that. Before we dog the whole institution, it's not true. I'll give you one. You give me one. Ready?
All right.
Paul Egan.
I can give you Matt Taibbi. I can give you the national ones.
Christine McDonald. I'm going to give
so,
you a look.
So who are they? Tell me who these people are.
I'm doing it too. They're people in Michigan that do good work.
You know, I'll give you that. I'll correct myself. There are a lot of good local reporters out there doing really good work.
Yes.
I end up following a lot of these guys, men and women, when there's breaking news and it comes from a certain area or a certain city. I know that for the most part, if you go to a local reporter, it's usually pretty good. These people aren't the ones chasing the national story and grifting to try and make a buck.
The national people chase them.
Exactly.
And they should be paid more, right? Yep. And they should be respected, and I don't want to dog them. Because I know in Minneapolis, they're for real. In Chicago and L.A., I know. Pancho Ortiz in McAllen, Texas. That guy does both sides of the board. Oh, no, there's a lot of us. So we're not dogging reporters. We're dogging the business.
I'll tell you this. I think you're right. I think I should correct my statement again. The problem is the powerful moneyed interests that fund all this stuff are not the local journalists who are actually reporting on what's going on.
Give me it again, brother.
That's right.
Right on.
It is these powerful national wealthy interests that are funding.
Who runs the newspapers now? Hedge funds.
Yeah.
They're tearing them up.
The local newspapers are collapsing. They can't compete with the national level.
Newspapers are over. But I love newspapers. You know why? They're the best kindling for a natural fire. There's nothing better than a newspaper. One, it's
like in your fireplace?
Yeah. It is. It's, I don't know what else you use this tart in.
Yeah, you actually, you ball it up, and it helps get things going. I mean newsrooms in general, right? You used to have, man, it's crazy when I drive through some of these small towns, you see a big old, it's like the so-and-so Gazette or whatever, and I'm like, they used to have a newspaper here. Not anymore.
They don't even have a web newspaper.
Because they can't compete at the national level.
Yeah.
The ads have become, you know, Google and Facebook contributed to this, but it's also that the New York Times can serve local ads. So the big players dominate the market. If you live in the middle of Nebraska and you go to the, you go to these big prominent news websites, you're going to get ads for the middle of Nebraska. You're going to get ads for your local grocery store. So you don't need the local paper selling ads anymore. And then if people are like, if I'm going to pay for news, I'm going to pay for the New York Times. Why would I pay for a local paper?
100%. So what I do with my podcast is I try in the week to do one big solid story. So when I do it, that's ours and only ours. And we beat everybody. And you got to chase us. For instance, Saturday is the 7-year anniversary of Flint. I bet you nothing was going to happen in the great state of Michigan until I just said that.
Did they finally fixed
bring
the pipes,
it.
Right?
I got you. Hello, everybody at home. I got you. Hello, New York Times. I got you. Remember Flint?
They finally fixed the pipes, right?
Yeah.
No?
Nah, man.
Still bad?
Nah, man. It's like, you know what they got in Flint? Orange drink. They got that news click. No, they didn't.
So it's still bad.
Ain't nobody drinking the water in Flint.
Yeah.
What'd it do to us? Flint! What else?
I was thinking, like, I think it's always been bad for humans. You know, it's always been like we're struggling to survive. We're lucky to be alive. And now it's just less bad. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's still lead in the water. Like, there's not feces. We have clean drinking water, which is kind of a first in humanity. I guess the Romans maybe started to. So it's not like it's falling apart. It's never really been that great, you know.
Well, but look, come on. You'd be better off in the middle of the woods finding a dirty puddle and drinking it than you would the water in Flint. They had chemical plant runoff, and they had lead eroding in the pipe.
Well, it's not that bad now. I mean, but I would like to actually go back and have a muddy water in some land that's mine in some, you know, like one of these BBC movies about the Vikings where I'm running around, you know, and shooting elk and stuff. I wouldn't mind that, but you don't live very long.
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to be improving. I smell rot. That's what you've been talking about.
I think no matter how much technology improves, there's always the struggle of maintaining things. Like, we still have people who live in the middle of the wilderness. We still have people they're undiscovered tribes. We could develop all the best technology in the world, and I still think there would be poor people who are living in squalor.
Yeah. The world's getting crowded, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or as a great philosopher once wrote, what goes up must come down, spinning wheels going around.
Do you think
who was that? I don't know. DJ Thomas or something?
We could evolve to a place where humans are all like consciously aware, awesome, connected, unified, or are we always going to have a segment of people that are like dumb, like kind of dumb animals that need to be herded?
I kind of like both. I like the dumb animal and the superhuman. Because remember what Freud really said, break it down. The civilized person and the animal person, the wider they get from each other, the more unhappy you are, the more anxiety. The animal gives up his pleasure for longevity. That's the civil person. That's really, I thought he was brilliant. That's really what's going on in our lives. Are we going to be animals? Are we going to be civil? Or I like being both.
You got to have a good mix, man. You got to think long term.
But people don't want us to be that.
No, they want to be short term.
They don't want us to be. They don't like the animal part of us.
Right, they're afraid.
You have to be nice. You have to be nice and be nice at work.
Raise your hand.
Don't say the wrong words.
Wash your hands and don't say the wrong words.
Because for so long,
tell it to the hand.
The animals get angry. They start banging the bars, and then they start ripping things down and blowing things up. And that's what the government and the people in power are afraid, that there's going to be some sort of chaotic I don't even call it revolution, but chaotic evolution or de-evolution. So they're like, no, we have to create strict rules. We want these people to be, to follow us. That we want them to use our money that we say. And I think it's holding us back from turning into, like, the Homo sapien is going to evolve into some other type of hominid or a bunch of different types of hominids.
Nah, robots, bro.
And like cybernetic hominids.
A brain in a jar connected to a car battery.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what we're about to become.
All the above.
That's one way to put it.
Psychics. There'll be wild animal humans. There'll be humans on Mars bigger. There'll be humans in deep space that are really long.
We're gonna integrate ourselves with machines. That's the goal for a lot of these wealthy industrialists, like Elon Musk, Neuralink.
Yeah,
he's a cybernetic guy. They want to integrate humans with machines.
Well, why wouldn't we? Because, look, we tethered ourselves to one.
We're interfacing with these machines right now.
Yeah, but this one, these for sure, but this one is part of me. This phone is, and if you make it so I can stick it inside myself and never lose it at the bar, I might do it.
What if they hack it?
Well...
And they start making you think crazy things, and all of a sudden you just go nuts.
That's called marriage.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, a lot of people are worried about the Neuralink stuff because there's so much we got to discover. But my response to the Neuralink stuff, when people are like, would you get it? Oh, I wouldn't get it. I'm scared. It's like, let the technology happen before you start talking about whether you're worried about it or not.
This is exponential.
You know? If I went to you 15 years ago and said, would you want to put a tracking device in your pocket where the government can see where you're going and big corporations and know when you're pooping? You'd be like, no way, I'd never do that. Now you're like, I love this thing.
But I go like, what do I get for it?
Access to the summation of human knowledge.
I would be like, that's interesting. Maybe. In fact, we did. So it's no use going back and asking the question. We all knew that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, people are going to Neuralink right up.
Did you see Terminator 2? You guys seen the movie?
I'll be back again.
A long time ago. I thought it was like a dystopian fantasy when I saw it in the 90s. And now I'm realizing, whoa, dude, that might actually happen. That's crazy that machines could – we give over to this thing and then it takes control.
Do you see the new Terminator where I guess like the machine nanoparticles infected the dude and he became a cyborg person or something? Mm-mm. So in like one of the later movies, I don't know, they made too many of these. Like, I guess what's the name of the kid? John Connor, is that
his
name?
Yeah.
He apparently gets infected by nanotech, which integrates him with Skynet or whatever. And he was like, I guess the story was something, I could be getting it wrong, so correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. He said something like Skynet realized they couldn't win, so they decided to integrate with humans, and they're like, quick, kill him. I'm like, wait. What's wrong with that? Like, he's super powerful. He's like basically indestructible. He's still him. He's doing his thing. Wouldn't you want nanobots to make, like, you know, it's like Tony Stark in Avengers where he presses the button on his chest and then he gets a suit of armor. Wouldn't you want to be have superpowers?
Not only that, I'd like to be the governor of California.
Yeah, afterwards.
That would be fantastic as well.
When you retire. So.
You don't get the analogy, do you?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, you did get the analogy.
Yeah, Terminator.
We'll just take that out and, you
know. This is live.
Post-production.
So man.
What?
Imagine this.
You didn't tell me that.
You didn't know it was live?
I didn't mean that, Governor. I didn't mean it. I love you.
So imagine right now when we're all like, we're okay with these phones in our pockets tracking our every movement because of the powers we get from it. I got to say, like, okay, you got to integrate with the machines, but you can also have superpowers. You can jump real high. Your hand could turn into a sword.
But, bro, I turned off location and I just want to check Facebook.
That's not how it works.
Even if I turn location off, I'm being tracked?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
No, and I told all the apps you can't track me?
Yeah, they can track you. Welcome to the future,
my friend.
The crazy
thing is you don't know.
Let me explain
because
something.
Because the code is proprietary.
Let me explain.
I actually thought I was getting away with it. With a VPN and turning it all off.
You just don't know.
So hold on, what the code is
doing behind your back.
In order to connect to the VPN, it has to connect to a local tower first.
True.
And it has to register your device on that tower first.
But a VPN in it.
VPN protects your browsing. So, like, if you're looking up, you know, pictures of dogs, they won't know you're looking at pictures of dogs. But they will know where you are at hitting that tower.
They can ping me. Oh, yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Your phone has to be like, hey, this is Charlie's phone. I want to do something. I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's different. So, yeah, you're being tracked. Let me explain something to you. You know that you have voice activation on that phone, right?
Yeah.
you can say, what is, you know the phrase? I don't want to say them because I don't want to turn people's phones on.
Hey, but Judy.
Machine.
Yeah, you say, hello, phone, and it turns on?
Yeah.
How does it know you're talking?
Because you allowed it to access your voice.
And how does it know you're talking at that moment?
Because I pressed the button.
No. You can activate it without pressing the button by saying its name.
What goes off?
I can say, we got one of the Amazon devices, right? It's just sitting there in the room.
Listening.
But if I say its name, it'll turn on and say, what would you like? In fact, if you go to your settings, you can look up the things you've said to your device and it'll say, this was not intended for name of device. That means your phone right now, in order for it to be able to know you used a voice activation command, the microphone is always on. Always. The way the voice to text works, you say a word, the phone sends that sound bite to a company that takes that sound and turns it into text.
Okay.
Sends it back.
Help me. How do I get rid of that?
Throw it out the window.
That's the only way.
Well, you could use open
mini
source.
Faraday cage.
Wait, no. For the regular people, how do I get rid of that?
You can't.
Then don't carry a phone?
Yeah. No. Carry a mini Faraday cage.
What?
All right, so a Faraday cage is like, it's a cage.
I love that. It was Robin Williams and Nathan Lane in the Faraday cage.
All right.
The bird cage. Great movie, by the way.
A Faraday cage blocks all incoming electromagnetic waves.
And outgoing.
Is that an app?
No, it's a little box made of metal. So you ever look at the front of a microwave and you can see that, like, you can kind of see in, but there's a metal screen?
Yeah.
That's because the holes are the right wavelength to prevent microwaves from coming out. A microwave is a Faraday cage because it has to keep all the microwaves inside of it. If you put your, I'm pretty sure this works. If you put your phone in the microwave, it should put your phone, like, untrackable because.
But my head's going to explode. Well, if you can't put your head in my microwave.
Don't put your head in the microwave.
You could get a 5G, what is it? No, the 5S, or if you're Android, I think the 5S, and before, you could take the battery out, and that will...
No, it won't.
I don't think they can track a phone without a battery in it. Not the old ones.
No, I'm talking about when the battery's in it, and I'm just here now.
These batteries are permanently in now.
Okay, yeah. Get a burner phone.
No, that won't work. Come on.
Why?
So the burner phone still has to register on a tower, right?
Yeah, but don't link it to your name.
Then if you at any point ever have that phone and your phone in the same place at the same time, the network will register both devices. Do that a couple of times and the AI tracking these systems will detect a pattern. This cell registration and this cell registration appear in the same time.
How far
times.
Away should I use my burner phone from my regular, or turn my regular phone off when I use my burner phone?
Leave your regular phone at your house, go a few miles for your burner phone.
What if I turn my burner phone off, my regular phone off and then use my burner phone?
It might work, but I'll tell you this, man.
Just go a couple miles.
You need to understand something. They have a Facebook.
I'm trying to understand.
No, for sure. Do you have a Facebook profile?
Yeah.
Do you have any family members who never signed up for Facebook?
Yeah.
They have Facebook profiles too, even though they didn't sign up. They're called shadow profiles.
I know.
So the point is, if they want to track your burner phone, it is as easy as making chocolate chip cookie dough.
I'm going to give you my number on my burner phone.
Don't do it.
You know,
not on this show.
Check this out.
911.
No. I was at a meeting in, don't dial that number. I was at a Google event.
Somebody will.
And I was there. No, you can't do that, man. I was at a Google event with, who's that famous war correspondent for NBC? Richard Engel, is that his name?
Yeah, Richard Engel. Yeah, he's still working.
He went to Syria during the height of the war with his cell phone. He brought his cell phone, his personal phone, with him to Syria. And I was just like, bro, are you joking? And he was like, no, why? It's like, anything on your phone, just consider it the property of the Syrian government at this point. The moment you landed within their towers, they owned every bit of data on that phone probably. Instantly, they're tracking this stuff. It's war, bro.
Dude.
He didn't realize
that.
What's
funny? Like, just it. Go ahead, brother.
I'm going off on another tangent about how the world is becoming all, like, observable. We're all, like, becoming part of this Borg collective, whether we want to or not. It's crazy. Like, how are we going to navigate this new reality?
Well, you have to be smart, like he's saying, because our Supreme Court justice is on a junket to Dubai. And he's supposed to be in Israel, and he gets stopped for COVID. He decides to spend three months.
The state Supreme Court?
Yeah. And he decides to spend 3 months in Dubai, but he says, I'm working. And I'm like, are you doing conferences? via Zoom? You know, those are supposed to be secret. Those are undercover. Which cases we're picking, when we're discussing the merits of the case, and how we're going to come up with the decision. And you're doing it by Zoom? In Dubai? The government's got all that. And nobody questioned it.
Yep, that's right.
There's no way to do business.
There's no way to run a government. Yeah, they got everything, man. Facebook, they know everything about you. Facebook can predict when you poop.
They can, because that's when I'm checking it out.
It's not just that. It's that based on simple things like when you last ate, they know when you ate because they're checking your location. It's not even about whether or not you have location services on. There's some services that have mapped out all of the local Wi-Fi signals from certain areas. So when you are, they'll have cars drive around and they have a computer scanning open Wi-Fi signals. They're not breaking into your Wi-Fi. They're just seeing who's broadcasting. They then incorporate that into map data. So that way you can use your map app, whichever one, without having access to GPS.
Do we care?
I'm looking up Zoom. Apparently it's owned by Eric Yuan, Chinese immigrant, now an American citizen, but the company's development team is largely based in China, meaning all that stuff's property of the Chinese government.
Oh, yeah. Every communication you do on Zoom is probably in the Chinese server. Chinese government's got it.
Oh, so the Supreme Court justice is...
Yeah, it's compromised. This world is...
Do we care?
Not...
Yes.
I do, but...
Are we going to be slaves?
Well, like, how do we survive it? That's basically, it's happening. I mean, I'm not trying to like be like, stop. I don't want my life to be in the public domain, because it basically is. But how do we survive that as a species?
The planet is becoming the Borg.
I don't want to.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
So we have to leave the planet?
I don't know, man.
Just know if you raise chickens, you should feed them the eggshells.
Is that true, though? I heard you're not supposed to do that. I heard you're supposed to... We went to a vet for our sick chickens and said, make sure you don't get any eggshells in there.
No. I fed them every 2 days with those things.
We had a sick chick, and they said, make some scrambled eggs for the chick.
Excuse me?
But just make sure you don't put any eggshells in it.
You're cooking scrambled eggs.
That's what the vet told us to do. That's right. Yeah.
Unfertilized.
And the reason they said not to make sure it doesn't get any eggshells is because then they'll eat their own eggs.
Sensitive man.
For what?
He was worried about his chicken.
It died.
He loves his chickens.
And it died. Yeah, that's how bad your cooking is.
No, it's just sometimes chickens die, man. We brought it to the vet. The vet was like, sometimes chickens are just weak. They don't make it. The little babies, you know.
What do you think the vet thought when you walked in with a...
It was a chicken vet. They were like...
chicken vet.
That's right. They were
you
like
are
another...
On the sticks.
Another... That's right. We got farms. And they were like... Their attitude was, a customer is here. That's it. And they had chicken medicine, and they gave it to us, and they gave us a little thing you put in the chicken's mouth, because there are a lot of farmers who had to treat their chickens.
Is there a pandemic going around?
No, but chickens have parasites.
Is it chickvid?
It's called, what's it called? What was it?
Well, what, the parasite the chickens can get?
Yeah, I forgot what it was
trichinosis
called.
Trichinosis is the first thing that comes to my mind.
There's something they have, I can't remember what it's called, coccidiosis.
Interesting.
That's funny, coccidiosis.
Yeah. So they had to give
because,
a broad
spectrum.
Because,
like roosters or cocks. Coccidiosis.
Well, yeah. That's you know the red thing on the chicken's head?
The comb.
Cock's comb. Yeah. But the chickens have it too, and so like the hens have it. So we had some people like see the chickens, and like one of them, like they're growing up. One of them's got the little thing on. And they're like, but I thought they were all girls. I'm like, yeah. They're like, but they has the red thing. I'm like, chickens have that too. Yeah. Hens have that.
Do you guys feel like this last week has been dark?
What do you mean dark?
This was this Chauvin thing and the way the media...
Yes.
I feel kind of like not demoralized or like... I'm still reeling. A lack of hope. Like
it's Wednesday, man. Don't worry. The week's only half over.
It feels like Friday.
Buck up, bro. Yeah.
I want to say, too, we got to go to Super Chats. But I just want to point out, I think your Chris Cuomo bit is going to go down in the show history of being like one of the best clips where you're like...
Okay, hold on. Let me do it better. Okay, here we go. Well, I'm coming out. I've been out of here in a couple weeks.
Now go back down the basement.
Hey, Phil!
His son, you got to watch that again and watch his son's face while he's doing it, because his son thinks he's such full of crap.
Wow,
while he's watching, he's like, dude, he has not been down in the basement this whole time. He's lying, and he's on
He got caught and he admitted it.
It's crazy.
Oh, did you pop your headphones out? I don't know where that goes.
Okay.
That's okay. Here, can you? We'll read Super Chats, and then.
I can hear you guys.
Charlie,
see what I can do.
Popped his headphones out.
Oh, by the way, before we go, hey, brother, good to see you again.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's been a minute.
Thank you a lot for having me on.
I love you, man.
I think the last time we hung out was in Ferguson.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was crazy times, but we hung out at the bar. It was fun. The bar, not Ferguson.
Yeah, that's
what I'm trying to clarify.
That's the thing about the business, man. It's hard if you do it right. It's horrifying. And, you know.
We're going to read some super chats. Lydia will help fix your headphones. All right, everybody, if you haven't already, smash that like button. Helps the show out. Leave a comment. We really appreciate it. Go to TimCast.com because we're going to have an even more entertaining members-only exclusive with Charlie LaDuff coming up later tonight.
I can swear.
Yeah, and the members-only stuff, you can.
I did well, didn't I?
You tried so hard. Yeah, we don't swear on the live show because we're family-friendly. But so go to TimCast.com, become a member. We also got a bunch of big updates. We're working really hard on getting this done. It's not the easiest thing in the world. We are hiring tons of people. But let's read some super chats. We got the first super chat from a name that's being blocked by YouTube. He says, what are your thoughts on ranked choice voting? I'm a fan. I like ranked choice voting.
Me too. I like it a lot. That means so you have 10 candidates. You give them each a ranking on 1 to 10. And then if your number one choice isn't one of the contenders, it defaults to your number two.
Right.
And then it takes like the top two final contenders and it will calculate which one of their votes goes to those two.
Yeah, so it's not a perfect system by any means. It still can devolve into a two-party system, but the idea is, so if you had, you know, we had Joe Jorgensen, Trump, and we had Biden. You could be like, okay, Trump's number one, Joe Jorgensen's number two, Biden's number three. If Trump doesn't pull enough votes, your votes flips to the next choice. That way, the idea is the person who wins is more representative of what the people want as opposed to first past the post voting where everybody gets one vote and then that person wins, which creates a two-party system. So I like the idea.
My turn?
Yeah.
Too confusing in a country of 330 million people that don't even trust a mail-in ballot.
No, but it's not going to be confusing. It can be like, please select your choice for president.
It's lightning round. I'm just saying.
But check it out. Imagine this. Fly. Please select your choice for president. You go, check.
I know what it is.
Then a box over here says,
it's going to fly.
Who else would you like to be president if this was your second choice? Mm-hmm. And you could pick somebody.
Not in the DNA. Next super question.
But first, super question. All right, then. KB Toys says, the majority voted to abolish the police. Does that mean we disregard the minority then? You criticize those who wouldn't let their car be taken, but advocate abandoning cities. You live another day and are out of the fight. I think that there's a big difference between someone trying to steal your car outright where it's illegal and no one agrees with stealing cars. I think if you're in a city and they pass a bill that says carjacking is now legal and you're like, I'll stay here, then what do you want me to say when you get carjacked? So look, if it's illegal to carjack somebody and someone carjacks you, my personal opinion is, you know, to certain degrees, of course, I'm going to be like, I'm going to fight. But if your city legalizes or decriminalizes carjackings, you might want to leave.
Yeah, but not everyone can. It's hard for people to relocate sometimes.
Sure, we did have a super chat yesterday where someone pushed back on that, saying it's not as hard as people think. And I look, man, the fact of the matter is, hard or easy isn't what's important. What's important is, if you stay in a city like Minneapolis, what you are saying is, it is easier and safer for me to stay here than it would be to leave. Because I'll tell you this, you got a family, it's tough, you seriously could just start walking. Hmm. Nothing's stopping you and your family from just walking down the street and walking. Now, I get it, that's ridiculously unsafe, so it might be safer to stay in your home. But finding a new place to live, renting an apartment might be hard, but you might be safer in the long run. It's short-term versus long-term thinking.
Are we on the family-friendly show or the other show?
We're on the family-friendly show.
Yeah, so it's now legal to come up to me at the gas station, stick a gun in my face, and take my car? Stupid!
Is it? Well, you know...
That's carjacking, as far as I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it is legal. I'm saying you live in Minneapolis where they've tried to abolish their police.
Yeah.
It backfired, a bunch of cops left, right. And now people are panicking. Staying there is kind of like a bad idea. That's just my opinion. You can stay if you want. All right, Ernie G says, Detroit's best journalist. Love your work, Charlie, Tim, Lydia, and sometimes Ian. I was a bit teed off by the no good 80s music, AC/DC, Motley Crue. Who said no good 80s
Me.
Music?
Guns N' Roses. I didn't say there was
no, someone
none.
Else. What, was it you?
I mean, I was dogging on 80s, just the 80s in general.
The 80s was one of the best music periods ever.
It was okay. Don't you want me, baby?
Except for the 60s and the 70s and 90s.
The 70s, eh.
70s was
there's
okay.
There's good 70s music. The
80s. Zeppelin was hot.
Look at this. God. AC/DC,
the 60s
Motley
was
Crue.
Awesome.
Tears for Fears.
Yes.
Tears for Fears was pretty good.
The Cure, Depeche Mode.
No, Depress Mode.
No,
I mean,
yes.
Come on. The 90s was when rock and roll was birthed. You could say it was birthed before that, but it matured in the 90s.
The 90s had Smashing Pumpkins. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it had a lot of that grunge rock. The Seattle. Yeah, the Seattle sound. The 80s was had some good music, no doubt. That's Guns N' Roses is like one of the best bands of all time, I think.
True.
It's the 2000s that was bad, right?
Yeah, when Auto-Tune took hold.
The 2000s were bad.
So bad.
What do we have in 2000s? Somebody told us their stuff, and I was like, oh, yeah, that existed.
There's some good stuff.
That existed.
But when Auto-Tune came out, anyone could just like sing crappy and then tweak it. Mm-hmm. And like the whole point, I think, of recording yourself is to make it sound like who you are for real. And there's a challenge to sound good.
Like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I think he's a lot of
you know, Dave Grohl. In 50 years, people are going to be putting on the classics, Justin Bieber.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
All right, we got Doc Hollandaise says, thanks for introducing me to Charlie. He's a blast. There you go. DW says, never heard of this guest, but why does he sound like he does a voiceover for mobster movies?
None of your business. I had to think about that, but I was going to come up with a good one. It's a family. Stay tuned for the next one. Subscribe if you're not, and I'll tell you why.
All right. Sicantia says, once again, I am asking for your support to bring Donut Operator or Angry Cops in the podcast. Much love to you all. Even Ian, who catches my friend and I off guard with Federal Reserve rants.
Yes.
Love, a trans girl Trump voter.
Woo-hoo. All right.
Donut Operator would be fantastic.
Love him. I reached out to him recently.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wait, that's something. Hey, trans girl Trump voter.
Respect.
Respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Gerald Herbert says stink bugs are also known as kissing bugs, as they eat dead flesh and the lips are their favorite to feed on at night, and they carry horrible bacteria that can cause fatal infections.
How nice.
Thank you.
And they all don't degrade.
There are different kinds of stink bugs.
They live in your belly and come out.
So we throw them in jars. We go outside. We throw it in a chicken thing, and the chickens just go nuts.
Yeah,
they
love stink
bugs.
I can see why. They were not. I would eat them. Yeah.
They're big and juicy.
Good
you know?
And crunchy.
Jack Mack says, oh, I'm sorry. Jack Mack Doge Boy.
Oh.
My buddy in Ukraine says everyone is super on edge. He lives less than 50 miles from the Russian border. Oh, worried about my homie and the world.
Yeah, you're not alone, man.
This is it. Look at this. Black Lion Grunt says, Russia warns U.S. and NATO to not cross their red line. I wish we had a strong leader like a certain orange man.
But you know the history of the Ukraine and Poland and Central Europe? They get washed over all the time.
Yep.
That's right.
But now we got really big bombs. Not a good idea.
Very true.
All right, Steve Smith says, damn, I vote for the first time in 2016 and the world seems to go to crap. Well, it's a good thing it's cold in Minnesota tonight, so less riots maybe. Also, I feel a lot like the cops have debt, so they won't quit, thus they stick around in this terrible system. Yeah, well, there you go.
Hey, keep in mind, man, maybe it seems like it's going to crap, but it's not. It just seems like that because of the media manipulation.
But I like what dude said, though. You know, like, it's a job. It's a job. It should pay more.
It should pay more.
That's... end of story, but you're right.
Dude. I don't think people realize that having people who don't feel invested in their work because they get paid garbage, it's like
$38,000.
Yeah.
And can I do this?
That job is insane.
Because I, a lot of my friends are cops. Every single person out there knows that the majority of cops do a hard job and they do it well. We know that. We should say that and ask. Nobody even knows what force continuum means. You're asking for a change that you won't even understand what it is to be a police. So I just want to shout out to the very good police tonight.
All right. Connor O'Brien says, the only piece of journalism I'll show my grandkids is the clip of Al Roker fessing up to crapping his pants in the White House.
What?
Is that real? I don't know
if
that's real.
If it is.
No.
That sounds real. All right, let's see. Where are we at?
Tennessee.
Pharaoh Fox says, glad to see Charlie is still doing great things. Loved your book, Ish Show. Keep flashing that press badge and not wearing the brown shoes. And spin the UFO, which we don't have. We have the spinny thing, but the UFO still exists.
I want to get a spinning moon.
That's we had what happened to the Earth? Remember we had the Earth?
Yeah.
The Earth is flat.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Depends on how you look at it.
That, how's that a thing?
Some people just kind of lost
it. They used to think it was. There was like ancient, you know, ancient science.
True.
Didn't they have like the firmament and there was a belief that it was on the back of a turtle or something?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about all that. I do know that Eratosthenes calculated the circumference of the earth by measuring shadows, and that was in like 2 BC.
That dude's name is awesome, by the way.
Eratosthenes.
Nice pronunciation. One in Athens and one in Cairo, in fact.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's many ways.
So smart, dude. That's amazing.
Look at the eclipse.
Right.
It's circular.
The idea.
Yeah, but a flat circle. It looks like a flat circle from
the
two dimensions.
So if the Earth is flat, is it up on its side like a quarter, or is it flat? See what I'm saying?
Maybe it's up on its side and doing this at the speed of light,
okay,
so it looks like a sphere.
Okay, the idea.
You gotta have Tim wants to actually talk about facts.
Yeah, the idea that the Earth was flat was like Christopher Columbus. That's not true.
Yep.
Oh. The issue was Columbus thought the Earth was a smaller circumference and that the academics were wrong. They all knew it was round. You know why? Because boats go over the horizon and go down. Like, people weren't dumb. They were like, oh, look at that. It was always. So
let me give the visual, if may I?
Yeah.
Sailors know this. When a ship with the masts and the sails, when they come over the horizon, the first thing you see is the crow's nest. Then you see the mainsail. Then you see the bow. So if the Earth was flat, you'd see them all at the same time. They'd just be small.
Right.
But you see them rising up over the horizon. That's how you know
curvature.
It's curved. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that they've done that for a long time, and that's why he was like, hey, I'm going to calculate the circumference. So Columbus was all like, you're wrong about how big the planet is. We can make it sailing west to India. He just was wrong. And he ended up crashing into the Bahamas or something like that.
And then he called everyone Indians.
That's right, because he thought he was an Indian. All right, anyway. Kay Lorraine says, I love this man. I want to see him on a show. Well, you got a show. It's the No BS News Hour.
Yeah, but look at that. I've been eating well. And
you look great.
You know. cut my own hair. Trim my mustache just for the show. Thank you. I feel a little old. I feel it coming on. And thank you. You make me feel sexy.
All right, Raz.
The boy wants to feel sexy.
Raz Grizz missed a word, but I'm going to try and put in what I think they were saying. Charlie's outburst was the best I have ever seen. I am currently crying from the hot sauce that just came out of my nose. Get that man another beer on me. I'm telling you, the Cuomo thing is going to, we're going to clip that and we're going to make sure we promote that one.
They're bozos.
And they're the
this
son.
This is my own time, right?
They're like daddy's boy. I mean, their dad, Mario Cuomo, is basically the name recognition got them their jobs. I don't think they're really all that great.
Yeah,
this is a good idea from Eric A. He says, Ian, I have this image of you coming in like the Kool-Aid man with End the Fed and Free the Code. It wouldn't be the same show without you. Maybe we have to make a shirt of Ian breaking through a brick wall with a picture of red fruit drink that says End the Fed on it.
A destructible wall.
Mm. You can't end the Fed. We'll talk about this.
Audit it at least. We could
repeal that would be good. You can also audit the Pentagon.
Mm. We could repeal the Federal Reserve Act. Of 1913?
You need the Federal Reserve Act.
You just need a bank. But
after
it doesn't have
show.
To be the Federal Reserve.
We're going to talk. Yeah. We do this.
Everybody's having a good time. We got some more. We got some more praise for you, Charlie. Clayton.
I like praise. Tell me how great I am.
Oh, yeah. Clayton says, just got to say, what an amazing guest. Woo. I mean, Charlie is super entertaining in every aspect. Bo Jess says, thank you so much for having Charlie on. He's doing great work for my state and needs as much support as possible.
Yes.
Charlie, please never let up on Gretsch and the corruption in Michigan. Fix the S.
Mm. I gave you a shirt.
You gave me a shirt. We don't swear, but
fix
it says
the S.
Fix the ish.
Or fix it. Government, just fix it and we'll do our own stuff. We don't need a nanny. Mm-hmm. Man, we're screwed. Hmm.
Jay Lavelle says, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. Darmok and Jalad on the ocean. Kiazi's children, their faces wet. Shaka, when the walls fell. Uzami, with fist closed. Temba, when the walls fell. The beast of Tanagra.
Huh.
Now, if you guys know what that means, you have my respect.
A good cryptic.
I dig it, though.
But they mentioned Shaka.
I was actually listening to that.
So, do you guys want to know what all that meant?
Yes.
The secrets? What do you think it might be relevant to this show?
Oh, he said Shaka.
Relevant to this show.
Wakanda Forever.
Something we do here.
I don't know.
Something we reference quite often.
I don't know.
The Federal Reserve.
No.
Cryptocurrency. DMT. Graphene.
No.
DMT. That's all I got.
Did you give up?
Yeah.
You can't get it?
Yeah.
It's a Star Trek reference.
Oh, okay.
I knew it. It was the speaking Klingon.
Yeah.
It's an alien race that speaks in parables and stories.
Like my Spanish.
When communicating, and they would say something like, Darmok and Jalad on the ocean, it's a story, and you're communicating through...
I saw that.
So the idea is like, when you say like, Tim and Ian on Timcast... You're basically saying, like, having a discussion and arguments.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like that reference is a reference to the common occurrence. Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, sorry.
If you were to say something
That's called nerd out over there. Nuts.
Mother raising her child on the busy street. Mm-hmm. It's like.
Well, it's a specific story. So it's Joe Biden climbing airplane stairs.
Mm.
So you'd be referencing someone failing at something.
Indeed.
Is this Pig Latin or something?
No. It's speaking. It's conveying ideas through stories. It was an episode.
But I didn't understand a damn word that guy said.
Because there's an episode of Star Trek where they're trying to communicate with these aliens,
right,
who are frustrated because they keep speaking in stories, and we can understand the words specifically like ocean, but we don't know what the stories are, so we have no idea what they're saying.
Okay.
And so they're trying to translate, and then Picard like. Teams up with the guy and they're trying to teach him the language and stuff like that.
Still confusing.
Try Cockney. 43. Rub a dub.
Aiden says, "Hey Tim, love the amount of work that you put into the show and as well as of the vids you make throughout the week. At the college I go to, they are making us go through diversity and inclusion training because of that girl from Ohio."
Mm. Which girl?
That was
the one with the knife.
Okay.
Was it the one? Is that what they're talking about?
I don't know. How many girls from Ohio?
Probably, yeah.
There's one, yeah. Columbus, yeah.
I don't make light of it, though. It's very... This sucks.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
Painful.
All right, I've there was a bunch of comments where they really love you, but we got to read the ones where they don't.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, ready? Okay.
Music DC guy says, this guy is a Constitution hater and a liberal apologist. I'll tune back in tomorrow.
Okay, bro.
Okay.
Recite the preamble or give me the three articles setting up the Confederation.
No.
Article 1. Yeah. Article 2, Article 3. Give me the Bill of Rights. Can anybody give me the Bill of Rights?
Thou shall not.
No, those are the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, I'm big into Moses.
No, huh? Anybody?
Yeah.
I'm not the guy.
That's right, dude. So don't you even do that. Without type them in now, and we'll see if you don't Google it. You know you don't know it. Okay.
Zach says, Lola Bunny, turning men into furries since 1996.
Yikes, yeah. Really?
That's Bugs' girlfriend, yeah. Right?
So one of the biggest scandals Roger now, apparently, Rabbit. Is that Lola Bunny in 1996 was drawn with big boobs.
Yeah.
And now they've gotten rid of the boobs. So now Lola Bunny has no boobs.
By the way, did you guys
see? I don't think anyone's actually mad about that.
Oh, then that's just
But
Bugs
people are
Bunny.
Joking about it.
That's just Bugs Bunny.
Have you guys seen the new Looney Tunes?
No.
Freakishly disturbing. They remade it like Seinfeld, where Bugs is like Jerry. But it's just poorly done. You got to watch it, dude. It's so
From
weird.
When? Recently?
It's like 5 years old or 3 years old or something.
Really?
It's so weird.
Is it like crude?
No, it's just like boring pseudo humor. It's so weird, dude.
Can I get some more hate mail?
Some more hate?
It's
we got some more hate, I'm sure.
What did I do? Jeez. You invited me for a conversation. Makes... You got yeah,
Martin go. Edgar says, Grandma got run over by a reindeer by Elmo Shropshire.
Shropshire.
And Patsy Trigg, 1979.
Yes.
Husband and wife duo.
Excellent song.
Well done, bro.
Made a
educated audience here.
That's right.
Sir Neof Strife says, hey, Tim, you should get Gary Buechler, the Nerdrotic. He talks about how they just use characters we know to push woke because he used to own a comic shop and rise from being a drug addict that went to jail. To a YouTuber, he said he would love to be on. Love the show.
Very cool.
We will look into Nerdrotic.
I will reach out.
Hey, you're doing good, man.
Alien King says...
You jumped out on your own stuff.
Yeah. I was working for a Disney company, man. I could have just done jumped through all the hoops they asked me to and got paid all the fat cash to be one of the corporate shills.
I'm the only guy that gets to come on here and say, I'm proud of you. Because...
Appreciate it.
You were younger... We're in the spot together. We know each other. We both work for Vice. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
Oh, thanks, Charlie.
Smart guy.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Let me read to you what they're saying about you. Alien King says, what a great freaking guest. I love Charlie's honesty, candor, and energy. Just imagine the life experiences this guy has had. Take note and step up, Trevor.
Oh, right, Trevor?
We're not ragging on Trevor anymore. Trevor's all right.
Trevor Noah?
No. Just people, Trevor. Someone called out their friend Trevor. So we all started joking that Trevor sucks. And then somebody named Trevor was like, come
What's
on, guys.
What's with Trevor Noah? What's with Trevor
not
Noah?
He's the one.
Lecturing us.
How did he get that
Dude,
job?
Dude, you came over in 2014. What do you know? That's nice. It's good. With
Glad
the tears. You don't know what tears are. Mm. Not here.
He's doing what he thinks Jon Stewart would do. And he's just... Not Jon Stewart.
So bad at it.
It's so cringe.
So cringe.
Triple Kill says, can you please trim these YouTube videos so I don't have to listen to a minute and a half of dead air before each episode? Keep up the good work. I don't think we actually can. I don't think we've tried trimming. So this is a live show. Once it goes up, I don't think you can actually. Oh, actually, you might be able to trim.
Oh, can we?
You can't split
afterwards.
Yeah, you can't split.
Right. It's live, it's posted, then it's going to archive it, then you can go back and you can cut.
We'll see if we can do that.
But he's
point.
Live.
Yeah,
the
man.
Funny thing is the guy's live.
But most, what's right. the matter
but,
with you?
But most people do watch after the fact.
I know, but he's doing live. Like, yeah. I can't take it anymore.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do.
Frank Skula says, Charlie, never heard of you before, but I gotta say, you are one heck of a character. I can't say I agree with everything you said today, but man, I would share a beer with you, brother.
We're not supposed to agree
That's right.
with everything, but I definitely right. have a beer.
Mm-hmm. I think all that people really want is authenticity. You can be wrong about a ton of things, and people would love to hang out with you as long as you're willing to actually talk about
Isn't
stuff.
Isn't that the thing? Like, look,
there are a lot of people
we don't,
who
don't know each other that well. We don't agree with everything. But it's an That's interesting right. night, and you return to your corner of the earth, and I return to mine. And that's...
We're gonna have to.
What a tribe is.
We're gonna have to have you do a bunch of little mini docs for us though, if you're interested. Definitely.
Look, man. Here's the thing. It's a new media concern. I don't need you. You definitely don't need me. But why don't we link up?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
There we go.
Oh, we're gonna kill. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're gonna kill.
Mm-hmm. Orwell was a prophet. 1984 says. I love how the same people that want to abolish the police also want to take my guns. That's adorable. You think a social worker is going to actively listen me out of my stockpile? That's what I'm saying. Look, you want to abolish the police, there won't be anybody to enforce gun laws, so I'm not worried about it.
I got a nice story about that real quick because we're doing rapid fire. In Detroit one time, they sent the social worker. And the social worker
For what? Got sent for what?
Disturbed man. Social worker went in. Dude was naked, had a shotgun, said, sit down. Social worker sat down in a Barca lounger of urine and had to sit there for an hour till naked
wow.
man.
But they were all right.
Yeah, it turned out all right. But that's
good.
You don't just send social workers. We all know what's going on. Let's be adults about it.
Scott H. says, hey, Charlie, I live in Detroit and have followed you since you exposed Bob Ficano for serving cat food to Meals on Wheels, similar to the orange drink. Keep fighting the good fight, exposing Whitmer. Serving cat food to old people?
Long story.
Wow, man.
Long story. But again, no, I'm not hunting Whitmer. Let's get this straight. I want answers, and when the answers aren't truthful, I keep going. I'm not hunting. I'm doing what... A report is supposed to do, keeping the government held to account. That's it.
Right on. Alex Moore says, good job, team. Y'all make me laugh, cry, yell at the TV, throw the occasional can, agree and agree to disagree. I will give a super chat for one of you to finish Cyberpunk, at least one ending, and think prophetic future when you review for us.
I'll
bite the bullet. I haven't even bought it yet, but I'll go there.
I guess they fixed a lot of it.
Okay, that's what I was waiting for.
I think I still have the original on my PlayStation, like when it first came out. So it's like all the glitchy, broken, never been updated.
I'll race you.
Probably auto updates whenever I play Skater XL or whatever. All right. Slayer says, hey, Charlie, I'm 26, living in Detroit, and I can't stand Gretchen. Are there any job opportunities to work with you? I'd love to join you.
Should I give my email?
Yeah, if you want. If you feel
you'll get like
you get a lot.
1,000 emails.
LaDuff10@gmail.com, dude. But come if you're for real. You got some video skill. You know what I mean? No, I appreciate it, but I'm not running a community college. If you got some skills, get a hold of me. If not, go to the community college, get the skills, then get a hold of me.
All right. Julie Simone says, while I agree with personal accountability and not staying in a place that no longer aligns with your values, unfortunately, there aren't as many decent places for people to flee. So then what? West Virginia? Hmm. Wyoming?
Never flee.
What?
Never flee. First of all, don't flee. If you flee, you're the problem. You're the weak. Ooh. You make a choice to move. There's a difference. Or hold it out and get real on planet Earth. There's no Disneyland. You said it. It never been that great.
No, it's not.
So come on now. Don't flee. I don't trust you if you flee. Nobody wants flight. Hmm. You never have my back if you flee. That means you don't have your own back.
Interesting.
There are such things as organized retreat. That's a lot different than getting routed. Hmm. So
Heather Graham says, Tim, the Supreme Court previously upheld that police agencies have no duty to provide protection to citizens in general. The other officers in George Floyd's death had no duty to provide protection to George Floyd at the very least, correct? It's true. I actually was looking at one of Luke Rutkowski's old videos. There was a guy on the subway in New York had a knife, I guess, and he was attacking people. And the cops refused to do anything. Some regular guy tried subduing this guy with a knife, and the cops just stood there and watched because they're like, we don't got to do anything. We're not going to help you. So Luke actually interviewed the guy. He got stabbed a bunch of times. It's crazy.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's nuts.
What's up with those other cops that were on the scene for the Chauvin, I guess, murder, you would call it now?
They
I don't
got
even
off,
like it.
I guess.
Oh, there are.
No, I think that their stuff proceeds now.
Mm. And they were charged with like aiding and abetting. Is that right?
I don't know.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't follow all of this as closely as everybody. I just wasn't glued to the TV. I don't know the specifics because I know what I saw. Hmm.
Did you see the second video
of
George Floyd, like before the Chauvin got there?
Resisting?
If that's resisting, that's the weakest argument I ever
like
seen.
Kicking your way out of the car and knocking people down.
Oh, dude, I mean, come on. This can't even be an argument here. Yeah. So maybe he's a little bit high. He's a little bit claustrophobic.
Should they let him go?
No.
What should they do?
What you do is you take him out, you stand him in the car. Ready? Here's the real one. You call the paddy wagon. You call the van. That's what you do. Because they got vans for the canine unit. Right? If you won't... That's all you do. How hard
SUV.
Is this? Every district's got a van. Go get a U-Haul. I'm going to kill him.
I guess the issue is...
And I stand right because the jury said so. It's officially murder. Officially murder. It was a murder.
You're right.
If you believe in this system, this great democracy of ours, it's a murder. We now say he's murdered.
No, I don't, because Snowden's
there
being persecuted.
There's white Jesus over here.
Assange is being persecuted. I don't believe the system
at face value.
But in
terms of the formal official statement, yep, murder.
Yeah, according to the formal official statement.
Yep. Tonight, do you think that George Floyd was murdered?
No, I think he was high on opiates and fentanyl and would have killed someone.
And you?
I don't know.
You know why? I watched the trial from start to finish.
Yeah.
I've seen the full body camera footage. Yeah. I heard the girlfriend of George Floyd say that he was in the middle of a drug deal.
He was.
And that he ate a speedball.
I've been high on dope.
That he had
Have you been high on fentanyl?
Me out.
Do you know that he had 90% narrowing of the arteries around his heart?
It was, again, choke me out, and my 90's going to turn to 100.
But that's not murder.
Do you know he had more than
if you're lethal. High and about to die and then someone...
I'm high and about to die in a cop, man. He got his that, business that, on my neck.
They never proved... They haven't proven what killed George Floyd. So how do you prove murder if you can't even prove the cause of death beyond a reasonable doubt?
Well, this is getting all nice.
This is a big
conversation. So, okay, I've worked with people who had drug addictions. I've worked with people who were withdrawing from all kinds of drugs, and they had serious issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something that seriously complicates your life. So when I hear that George Floyd was high on fentanyl, that's a serious complicating factor that needs to be taken.
Do you know that he had more than a lethal dose of fentanyl in his system?
He did, yeah.
Yes,
do you know that he also, combined with the norfentanyl, probably took the drugs well before any interaction happened?
Yes.
The judge even said it looked like George Floyd put fentanyl in his mouth?
Yes.
He also had a high amount of methamphetamine.
Exactly.
According to the state's own witnesses, Chauvin was entitled under the law to use a taser on George Floyd due to active resistance. Derek Chauvin chose to use the lesser force option.
Agreed.
The knee wasn't on his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds.
Okay.
The prosecution's own body camera footage that was shown proved that Chauvin actually moved his knee off of George Floyd's neck and onto his back several different times.
Onto his back.
George Floyd actively resisted, and bystanders at first were yelling at George Floyd to stop resisting arrest.
He did resist.
Floyd said no.
He did. That's
they called
true.
For backup. Derek Chauvin was called on a priority one, 6'1", 220 pounds, resisting arrest.
That's true.
And Chauvin chose to use lesser force, according to the prosecution's witnesses.
And then again, that's all true. That's
so
true.
How is it can't deny murder? That
because
intent to kill.
You got the business on the man's neck, and you put on his back, he can't breathe. You knew he couldn't breathe. We all saw he couldn't breathe. You pick the man up, and you make sure he breathes.
Well, do you know
can I go to the bathroom
do you know,
now?
Do you know that according to the state's own witness, the amount of that fentanyl's the most dangerous component of fentanyl is that it
who are you talking to?
You.
You know who I come from? Do you know my people? Do you know what I know about fentanyl?
Yeah.
And cocaine?
That's right.
And alcohol?
Yep.
My people?
I'm from the south side of Chicago.
I completely understand. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not going to buy that, man.
So, you make the last point,
let me go to the bathroom.
You asked me if I think it's murder, and I'll tell you this. The witness for the prosecution said the most dangerous thing about fentanyl is that it depresses your respiratory system and your ability to breathe and results in hypoxia. Now you're going to tell me
Excuse me, brother. A very dear loved one of mine died this past July. Complications of fentanyl. Mm. Just the fact that somebody gave it to him is murder.
Murder three.
And I can't get no justice.
Yep.
So please, let me go to bed.
All right. Yes.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Well, with that being said, actually, that was a great end, man. We're going to come back for the members only segment over at timcast.com. So make sure you check that out. Charlie's getting excited because he can swear now.
I want to shout out his website.
We'll be back at timcast.com at about 11 with the members only exclusive. So make sure you smash that like button, subscribe, become a member. I can't wait to get more of this work done and launch these new shows, but man, does it take just so much work. Yikes.
Takes work.
Once we get the ball rolling and we can get into the groove of things, but we're going to have news articles coming up. Hopefully we can get this settled really, really quickly, but we have a bunch of writers who are going to be coming on. We're going to have a bunch of news articles on the site. We're going to get a bunch of guest writers, new shows, TV shows, all this stuff. I'm not joking. New vlogs coming up as well. You can follow me on all social media platforms at TimCast, but wait, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at TimCastIRL with new clips from the show that you can share and help out the show by sharing. So like our Facebook page, TimCastIRL, follow us on Instagram at TimCastIRL, and you can check out my other YouTube channels, youtube.com/TimCast, youtube.com/TimCastNews, and I don't know how you find this one. I guess if you look in the recommended channels bar on this page, we got Cast Castle, which is, we might change the name. I don't know. I decided to put up the vlog. We're going to put up more. We got another vlog ready to go. We're going to be filming again this Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then eventually we got someone coming in who's probably going to be taking over and doing a daily show on the vlog channel, which should be exciting because you'll get to see the guests behind the scenes hanging out in the green room. It'll be awesome. So, I guess Charlie's hitting the head. Ian, you want to shout your stuff out?
Yeah. Wait. First, I see you got a tweet from you earlier. It says, abolish the police. Hire social workers instead. I am 100% serious. Was that serious?
Did I say it was serious?
You did, but I don't trust anything you say on Twitter.
I said abolish the police and hire the social workers. You know why?
No.
Because the city's voted for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was all I needed.
I'm at this point where it's like, dude, if people are like, this is what we would like, please, I'll be like, then let them do it. I don't live there. Most people don't live in New York.
That's
like
great.
Most people listen to the show. Listen, man, if you want your you live in a city where you're fighting the good fight, but they've supported the riots. I said it a million times. You probably shouldn't be there anymore. You know, you should probably go find somewhere else where you can be more comfortable, whatever. If the people want social workers, let them have social workers.
All right.
It's like a Chinese finger trap problem. We're trying to get our fingers out of this trap by pulling as hard as we can. Maybe the solution is actually to push the trap inward.
Or take a pair of scissors and just cut it in the middle.
But the thing is, man, the community in large is not calling for that. It's made for TV.
Sorry, man. They're not doing anything to stop it. So if elections have consequences, they keep voting for leaders who push this stuff, and they don't care about the consequences.
It's a tough world because if the masses believe something, it's hard for them to get that word out. You get one individual can make a YouTube channel. So like one person kind of consolidates power in the individual or NBC. And so they have
just
like a
telling
narrative.
You the word I get from Detroit, from the community, the people I know being on the block. No, they support police. They want good, professional, you know, non-A-kicking police.
They got to come out in the streets and show their support. They got to put up the flags. They got to say something because right now the violent mobs,
the vast majority, doesn't take to the street unless they got a reason to.
And if the cops get abolished, they might, right?
I'm just going to shout out.
They want more police.
IanCrossland.net, which is my website, and that you can follow me at Ian Crossland. But also, LaDuff is back, so.
Yeah, shout out your show, man, and your social media. What you got?
What is your show called?
Are we on the new one?
No,
we're still live. On the old one, yeah.
No BS News Hour.
Yes.
No BS News Hour.
And you're Charlie LaDuff on Twitter.
LED. I don't remember.
I see you follow zero people. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Follow zero.
That's so legit.
The only man I ever follow was my grandfather.
There you go.
The rest I'll have a talk with. Mm-hmm. But I use the Twitters just to know what I'm doing, what's going on. Just like the No BS News Hour.
Sweet.
Love it.
Thank you for that. When do we get to the part where we can drink whiskey? And,
in about 5 minutes.
Really?
5 minutes.
Give us 5 minutes.
Yes. Let Lydia shout out, and then we'll get to that.
Can I go get a cigarette?
I actually have my first beer ever on the show, thanks to Charlie.
Why don't you go grab your smoke right now?
Yeah.
Oh, this was awesome. And, man, this was awesome.
Love it. So much fun. Fun guests. There we go. High fives all around. Heck yeah.
Well, we're going to be back with Charlie for the members-only stuff. He's just going to grab a smoke.
Wait, he's going to give me a high five.
I missed, and
here we go. Woo! Oh, no, my gosh. No, we didn't see that. We're good to go. Thanks, Charlie, for making fake news. All right, hold on. Let me do a quick shout out.
I'm going to go see what your hippies are doing.
Okay.
Nice.
just come back up, because we're going to...
Yeah, I'm good, but they're watching TV and not doing anything, bro.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
Staff in order.
That's all good. Okay, so I got onto Twitter, and I was kind of upset about the Minnesota thing because Minnesota has voted blue every single election since 1984. Okay, you guys? They know what they're voting for. They know what they're doing. They gave us Ilhan Omar. They gave us Keith Ellison. They effing know what they're doing. They're blue as heck, and they understand what they're voting for. So the fact that Minneapolis is going down in flames, I honestly encourage people to move out and toast your s'mores over the flames of Minneapolis because... what else can you do? They understand what they're voting for. They know what they're doing. Anyway, enough incendiary talk. I'm Sarah Patchlitz on Twitter. If you want to follow me, here's Tim.
We will see you all at timcast.com in about an hour or so with the exclusive episode with Charlie LaDuff. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you there.
Bye, guys.